All right. Okay, so not to be too overly done to Mike about it here, but so before we even play anything, hello and welcome to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We've got this is normally where we would insert some sort of wacky soundbite or perhaps a weekly presidential address from George W. Bush. I'm sorting through all of this crap last night. And by crap, I mean irreplaceable artifacts for Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, which happens tonight in 8 short hours, my friends. And so I found a bunch of things that was just sort of laying around because we're going to have some listening stations set up. In fact, I just saw Jeff McGinley lugging some of the equipment down there. They're at Barracuda right now as we speak. As we speak, minions for the Rick Emerson Radio Program are there, and they are establishing various displays and sets of things and stuff you can look at and stuff you can listen to and things that go bing and whatever. So I was sorting through all of these big piles of cassettes last night, and I found I have, what is that thing, something old, something new, and something spongy and something blue and whatever. So I have some different audio cuts here. I have something great, and I have something awkward. And so, Sarah, I want you to call it in the air, and we'll either start with the something great, or we'll start with the something awkward.
See, and I know if it's a something awkward, it obviously has something to do with me.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
All right, okay, so, all right.
What am I doing?
Just calling it.
Great. Or ahead.
Right, hey, we'll start with the awkward thing. Fantastic.
Oh, good.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the next voice you hear will be that of, I think, me, about 5 years ago. In 2004, do you feel constantly pressured to have hot girl-on-girl action?
No.
No, I mean, not that, like, you know, we're trying to make you do it. I mean, we are. Does that, like, hang over your head as a woman in America that guys are always trying to get you to, like, make out with another chick?
Not really, no.
Like,
it's not usually the guy who wants them to do it anyway. I mean, most of the girls I know that make out with other girls just do it because they want to.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, all my friends, girls, guys. It's a strange world we're living in.
It really is. But, I mean, so, like, when you're at a bar, you're at a party or something, there's never, like, you totally had a kisser. It doesn't happen.
That happens.
What do you do?
It doesn't happen.
Do you just kind of say no?
Yeah. I'm done with that.
You're done with that. What do you mean, when were you started with that?
Oh, college is a crazy time.
Well, you've never told us that.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, that's not fair. That's the least fair thing that's ever existed.
We could just repost those pictures of Kristen and Glory.
Okay, but... Oh, okay, or you could share.
There's no sharing.
Give a little something.
It's in the past. A changed girl.
Everything's in the... A guy nailing himself to a box is in the past, too. He shares. Oh, anyway, here's Sarah with the traffic.
All right, I'm a little nervous, but here's my rap. Ahem. All right, you're gonna have a good drive today. There ain't no problems on the major roadways. Looking at country clubs, things will look pretty good like Robin Hood. Now I'm moving across the triad, yo. It ain't too bad, no. Now things look nice on 68, and I know you ain't gonna be late. So that was your traffic wrap today. Man, let's get some weather from my weather girl, Austin Kavanaugh. Come on, give us a weather. Boy, give it to us, word.
Oh, boy, dude, it's weather guy, by the way. That is something.
That's the awkward one?
That is the awkward one. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Rick Emerson Radio Show.
FMDJs, yo, it's midday, so here's your fix. Just like Rick Emerson consuming his chocolate check pits. Back harder than ever, going 4 hours strong. I still haven't perfected, looking like I'm working when it's on. How many unrelated observations can Rick make before Sarah slaps his ass for going over the break? And I don't even bother trying to call the show at all. Cause if my comments ain't funny, Rick will be losing my call. Never mind that they might not even answer the phone. Cause Scotty just hung over from being out freaking alone. I'm pretty glad my thoughts and Tim Riley's are in the same place. Cause we mostly work in a void in human race. When I'm not stealing cars from in front of Rich Place, I'm an old acquaintance searching for Sarah on my tape. So put your hands together for the man and cast the check. Rick Emerson, Bitches Radio, Gangsta S.
Radio Gangsta.
With Tim Riley, Scotty J, and Sarah S.
Radio Gangsta.
He's the host of the phone that cast the check.
Radio Gangsta.
With Tim Riley, Scotty J, and Sarah S.
Radio Gangsta.
Host with the most that cash the check, yo.
minutes and 48 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of April in the year of our Lord 2007. We are live from the plushly appointed and rhythmic studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program. It is Thursday, April 19th. We are now 8 hours away from Rick Emerson Listener Party 10. Emerson History X happening tonight, 7 p.m. Barracuda 9 Northwest 2nd. Downtown. There you go. 503-733-2970 if you'd like to join us today. We'll play that again later on. 503. No, not the
good,
thing.
Not the, other thing.
No, we can play that too if you'd like.
That was really on the...
Do you feel constantly pressured to have hot girl-on-girl action?
No.
No, I mean, not that, like, you know, we're trying to make you do it. I mean, we are. Does that, like, hang over your head as a woman in America that guys are always trying to get you to, like, make out with another chick?
Not really, no.
Like, when
usually
you're...
Well, it's not usually the guy who wants them to do it anyway. I mean, most of the girls I know that make out with other girls just do it because they want to.
Really?
Yeah. I found that on the tape you gave me, by the way.
Well, Sam, you and you not having a tape in the office?
There's only one room in the entire building that has a cassette player, and I was doing that. And I don't know why at the end I did the whole thing of segueing from you talking about kissing other girls in college, and then I edited it. I was really proud of this last night when it seemed like a great idea.
Yeah.
I spent about 20 minutes editing that last night so that it would sound like I was throwing the traffic to you, and then you were doing the rapping traffic. I don't know why. It doesn't even make any sense. I'm listening.
Were you drunk?
I was drunk with power. I was drunkenness. No, I was drunk with fatigue. I was here last night trying to get all of this stuff edited down for the party, and it just seemed like a really great idea. I have to admit that I carried it off well. I don't really know what I was thinking when I did that, though. Anywho. Oh, I have more stuff from you. I have more. Who wants to hear something else from the Sarah Dillon Air Check Library? Anyone? My gun. Thank you, Tim. I heard that. Let's just take one more. Let's take a listen to something else from Sarah Dillon, shall we? This is...
Come and see the new look of Mall 205. Oh, it's not the mall you remember.
But no, indeed.
Mall 205.
I hate you, dude.
Complete renovation.
That is not cool.
You gave this to me.
Well, Mall 205 has added exciting new stores like Bed Bath & Beyond. It's the most wonderful unique stores you can't find at every other mall.
Talk about the Dress Barn.
Mall 205 has a wide variety of stores you'll love, such as Famous Footwear, Harry Ritchie Jewelers, and the Dress Barn.
Yeah.
If you're shopping for teens, you'll find great skateboarding gear.
If you're shopping for teens.
From casual choice. Or for the younger ones, shop at the Learning Palace and discover award-winning toys and games. And when all your shopping makes you hungry, Mall 205
makes
a variety of flavors from around the world. So come and see the new look at Mall 205, where you'll find a whole new shopping experience. That's Mall 205 off I-205.
I'm so happy.
Washington.
You've never sounded happier to talk about a mall in your life. That's the happiest you've ever been. The best part is how
okay.
You...
I cannot believe I gave that to you.
Yeah, bam.
That was right when I started. I remember I think I was still an intern.
Oh, I got 15 Rick, minutes of that stuff.
No.
I got a whole cassette that's labeled Sarah's Commercial Air Checks. I think there's an exclamation mark at the end of it, too. Like, you were really proud of it at the time. It was a fantastic assemblage of spots. The best part is how you're trying to disabuse the listeners that it's the same old Mall 205. Like, even the whole... Oh, no!
You stop talking.
You might think it's the same Mall 205. Let's just hear that beginning part just one more time so you can hear.
Come and see the new look of Mall 205.
Okay.
The mall you remember, because Mall 205 is...
You stepped
new
up.
New look of Mall 205. Oh, it's not the mall you remember.
Oh, no. No, indeed. You want to lose that notion right now. You want to expunge from your head any idea that this is, in fact, the same Mall 205.
This was my special present.
If you're shopping for the younger set, what?
You said you had a happy surprise for me. This is it?
That's it. Well, not so much for you as it is for other people at your expense. Hello, and good morning. Hey, if you'd like to be part of today's program, and why wouldn't you? It's such a cavalcade of laughs. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Do we have a cassette player in here?
Oh, we don't.
Oh, nuts.
Too bad. Darn. 503. Oh, bother. 503-733-2970 is our telephone number today. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to call in with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your whatever, your what have you, you can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. If it makes you feel any better, which from the look on your face it may not, I get there's stuff that I found from me that sounds like way worse than that. I mean, just like worse.
Then happily talking about Mall 205.
You are so happy about Mall 205 and about the fact that they've got a dress barn. What sort of person?
It was before radio had jaded me, and I was all happy with my life.
And you would just churn out commercials for free for anybody?
Oh, man.
Sarah, can you come voice this spot for no money? Sure. Let me sound really excited. I bet you did that spot dozens of times, too, trying to get just the right sound. Wait, I know I can do it better. I'm not accessing the dress barn angle heavily enough.
Sick.
It's not the same Mall 205. Oh, no! Fantastic. All right, at least you're not voicing an Eskimo. Anywho, 503-733-2970. All right, that's just... I'm not sure if that's going to be listenable at the listener party or not. I can't remember what I gave Jeff McGinley for the listening stations. It's all bad.
I should never have gone through my bag of crap.
It's true. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com if you'd like to email us today. All right. Well, we have some more things that we'll be playing as the program goes on.
You didn't get any...
You gave me like 15 minutes full of stuff. That's okay. And I look now, honestly, and I say this with all... This is absolutely true. I would be playing some of my terrible commercials that I did back in the day, but I don't know. There's no reel-to-reel. I have nothing on which to play them. I have no real... In all my old commercial air checks, they're all on a huge... I don't even know what those sizes were. They were the big ones. I don't know if it's 12 inches or what, but the big, huge reel-to-reel tape. That's what my old air check thing. I have nothing. I couldn't play any of my old commercials. My life depended on it. If somebody in the building can rustle up a reel-to-reel, they probably can't because they're all down setting up for the party tonight. But if somebody here can rustle up a reel-to-reel, I'll play some. Otherwise, we're just going to have to play the Mall 205 thing over and over again. Oh, and I've got a bunch of traffic reports where you sound really, really excited about whatever it is that you were reporting.
And that was right when I had just moved here, I think, when I was starting the traffic thing.
No, and you sounded really, you were really into it.
I had no idea what I was talking about.
You really wanted to do a great job at everything you did?
Come and see the new look of Mall 205. Oh, it's not the mall you remember.
Oh, no, not at all. 503-733-2970. Why, hello, it's Thursday, and welcome to Day 12.
We are now... surprised.
We are now 8 hours away from Listener Party 10 happening tonight, 7 p.m. at Barracuda. It's not the same old Listener Party. Oh, no.
You're a jerk.
Yes, I am. All right, coming up later on today, we have CNN radio correspondent Bob Costantini, big thundering ball of excitement that he is. Is it Dick Giuliano? No, Ed McCarthy. We will also talk to Ed McCarthy, who will talk about that bitter, crazed nutcase who was on NBC last night. The good thing is, here's the thing, in as much as anything could be good about this hideous Virginia Tech story, I mean, it's going to be not finished and done, but it's going to be largely exhausted by the time the weekend gets here. The news cycle will have gone on. I mean, you know, it's a big story, and it's going to continue to be a big story for some time, but the news cycle will have largely exhausted itself by the time Saturday gets here. And you all are going to be too drunk tonight and too hungover tomorrow to even really notice anything that's actual news. So this is probably the next couple hours, probably the last time you really have to hear about that in any time in your life from which you'll remember it. Anyway, what else do we have coming up today? We will get to the top five today. We will continue our hunt for the worst story ever, because that came at the end of yesterday's program, and there wasn't really sufficient time to be voting. I got to read both of the worst stories ever yesterday, but it was right at the end, and we only got a sampling of the vote. We only got like 5 or 6 votes in, and then we were just out of time. So we will resume today. We'll do it earlier on in the program, through our hunt for the worst story ever. Let's see. What else do we have? Well, we got a bunch of stuff that's just sort of listed out. We have the worst song ever. Oh, and I have this. I picked up. I haven't even read it yet. But I have here the New National Enquirer, which I made as an impulse buy this morning, only because the first story is...
I bought that this morning, too.
Is Katie Couric collapsing drunkenly.
And then there's something good up in the upper right-hand corner, isn't there?
Oh, it's Jennifer Aniston covering her face like Bela Lugosi in Plan 9.
That's
because apparently somebody botched her new nose. Boozing Katie collapses after a shocking rampage. This is the best CBS week ever. CBS wishes this month would never end. CBS is going to have anniversaries in the future to celebrate April of 2007, which is the best month they've ever had. All right. 503-733-2970. Before we do introductions here, let's find hello, sir. How can I help you on this fine Thursday, which is Rick Emerson Listener Party 10 Day?
God damn it. How excited am I to go to the listener party tonight? That's going to be awesome.
Are you more or less excited than Sarah is about the dress barn being at Mall 205?
Jerk.
It's pretty close. I don't know. She was pretty damn excited.
That is the new gold standard by which all enthusiasms will be judged.
Hey, Rick, this is Jesse from Red Hot Pistol.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, I had a question. Our sponsor was Bud Light or Coors Light. Are they going to sell other beer? Remember, at the last Barracuda party.
If you got dollars in your hand, I think you can buy anything they got. You can buy anything you want, my friend. So,
and I think the plan is to line to make it an awesome night tonight. Last night I was bartending and some rich douchebag offered the cocktail waitress I was working with $500 to go out with him and get off of work. Uh-huh. And I said no, because then I'm going to have to do your work. So he paid me $500 to let her go.
So let me understand this. And please don't identify where it is that you work unless you own the bar. So last night, a guy offered your cocktail waitress $500 to go out with him, read, go home with him. You then said, no, because then my day is going to be longer and I'm going to have to do all of her stuff. So the guy gave you $500 to send the cocktail waitress out with him.
Yeah,
so you turned out a cocktail waitress. Do you have, like, were you wearing
a... She turned out herself. I was just collecting my fair share.
So you were... Did you have a large fedora with some sort of a gangly peacock feather sticking out of the top?
No, I was just wearing a white beard, suspenders, and a big old pocket watch.
That's pretty fantastic, and I like the way that you hew to the legal line as well by saying, no, I was just taking my fair share, and Rick, he was only paying for her company. What consenting adults do is between them.
Well, the good thing is I'm going to have $500 to spend at the listener party tonight.
Excellent. Just think of all the liver destroying substances you can buy with that.
The liver is evil and it must be punished.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you, sir.
All right. See you tonight.
Thank you, Scotty. Quit asking people. Scotty, are you asking people on hold to buy you drinks? There's the no drinking tonight until you're done with the DJ set.
That's to be you.
Seriously, Scotty. There's no drinking until 9 o'clock. No, I'm sorry, that Scotty. That's just the way it is. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and really excited Sarah Dillon. How are you doing today? It's not just the history of Rick Emerson. It's the history of the show, Sarah, and that involves you. You're a big part of the show's history.
I've had so much fun over the years making fun of your bad air check.
Yes, you have.
Come and see the new look of Mall 205. Oh, it's not the mall you remember.
No, no, it's not. But see, and we have...
I have had many great experiences at Mall 205.
Tim and I...
Maybe Paris Hilton was there for the ribbon-cutting ceremony when it opened.
Tim and I have long lamented that we're the only ones on this program, really, that have terrible air checks. I guess we have that one from Scotty, but even it's not flat-out awful. I mean, it's...
His time will come.
It's workmanlike, I suppose. You know, Tim and I have hundreds and hundreds of hours of bad air checks of ourselves. I mean, I know I do, at least. I get all basement full of those. And when I was like, well, I wish Sarah had some terrible air checks, and then... Like a beacon, like a golden fleece descended from the heavens, Sarah herself appeared in my office yesterday and said, "Here's some stuff I found in a bag. Maybe there's something good here." Really, and there was, too.
Come and see the new look of Mall 205. Oh, it's not the mall you remember.
No, it's not. All right. Looking forward to tonight, Sarah. Okay. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
We have lots of things going on all at once. First, this in from the top Democratic leader. The war in Iraq is lost. So we might as well just stop thinking it's going to be won. The Virginia Tech shooter was laughed at and teased mercilessly in high school. Today marks the 12th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombings. Sanjay is voted off American Idol. And New Hampshire's Governor Earl.
Yes? What? Hello.
Am I here?
I don't know what that was.
That
was a satellite. I'm sorry, that was a satellite.
I was hit by a satellite?
Yes, Skylab.
Is that the satellite of love?
A tiny... I don't know, Tim. Only you would know. Yes, yes, the Velvet Underground came out of the sky and hit you.
I was in my Lou Reed.
All right.
Is that the Sputnik?
So this, I forgot this is the
second headline.
This is the 12th
anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombings.
Yes.
And Sanjaya was voted off American Idol last night. And New Hampshire's governor will okay civil unions, making the state the first to do so. So it looks like the East Coast is well ahead of the West Coast on all this.
Of course.
That.
All right. So there you go. I forgot that this was not only Oklahoma City, but this week is the anniversary of Columbine.
Yes. Boy, this is a crazy week. This whole week, we should avoid this week.
Lewis will have a heyday on stage tonight.
And give him a chance to do something.
Don't give him any
energy. How much time does he have?
It's going to get shorter. If you start putting that in his head, it's going to be diminished. We should just avoid this week
is
in the future.
Is the hook going to come out from backstage?
We totally should. We should totally have one of those big vaudeville Catskills hooks. Oh, if only I'd thought.
We can get a hook in 7.5 hours.
One of those.
Does anyone out there have a vaudeville hook?
I believe.
Andy.
Like one of those, it's even a pool cleaner thing.
Well, let's find some ramshackle theater.
It's almost like a shepherd's crook,
yeah.
Right? Isn't that basically what it's like? And it comes out from behind the curtain and...
Or even a lasso would do.
Lasso. Or just a taser. Just a... Glad I'm sorry you're done. There you go. And down he goes. Fantastic. All right. 503-733-2970. All right. So there you go. So apparently Katie Couric is collapsing drunkenly everywhere. The listener party is coming up tonight. Emerson Starship is going to be performing. Hid Me Baby is going to be performing. A special mystery guest being flown in today. Let's see. We have the introductory video. We have another special video that's going to play later on during that.
This is my best day ever.
It really is going to be your best day ever.
It's not very futuristic.
Yeah.
It's not like listener parties at all.
No, it's true. No, this is the listener party of tomorrow, today. Wow. That really is what it is. And then, of course, the whole museum layout. I got to say this, and then we'll start get some of these calls. People are calling about random whatevers. I know we sound a little fragmented today and a little scattered. I mean, as long as we're relaying the important information.
Come and see the new look of Mall 205. Oh, it's not the mall you remember.
And it flipped up to broken glass.
I hate you.
Now, 30% fewer muggings in the parking lot. But Bridget, who works upstairs, who is doing all the production design for the party, and Susan Reynolds, who is our marketing guru, we sat in that office for about 2 hours last night, matching captions to items. Finding it, here's a caption, and then here's like a newspaper article, here's a shirt, here's a human skull, whatever. And trying to match one to the other. And I gotta tell you, there's a whole lot of damn weird stuff that's gonna be there tonight. A lot of it from us, a lot of it dropped off by listeners. There's just gonna be a whole lot of strange things at Barracuda. And again, we're gonna have some listening stations set up. One of those stations is gonna be playing nothing but bad air checks from my career. So you don't have to feel too bad for Sarah, because there's going to be a looping tape at one of those air checks that's just nothing but me talking like this and introducing Mariah Carey records. It was just awful beyond all imagining. All right. And Tim encouraging a woman to make zebra noises. What was her name? Minty? Babs?
Oh, Babs Mintz.
Babs
of Ojai.
The best part is from that old air check of you at K-Hay is the clear contempt you have for the audience. Just the fact that you loathe every one of your listeners just calling up to win something from you.
Well, what happened was there were two separate shows. The show I wanted to do and the show I had to do when the consultant was in town.
Aren't there always?
That was one of those shows.
Totally. We've had those shows in the past, too. I remember when we were at Entercom. When we were at Max 910. Oh, and I found a Max 910 air check with Sarah on it, too, where it's introducing her.
That's a long-forgotten state.
Totally. It really is. That Max 910 for us is sort of the middle child, because we have lots of memories of Fisher. You know, some good, some whatever. We have lots of memories of here, obviously. And then Max is just sort of in the middle somewhere.
I know, and they built us that studio and everything, and I just don't even remember it.
No.
It was kind of a personal lobotomy after we left.
Totally. I found some Tim Air news air checks and some Sarah traffic checks and then some bad radio shows that I did there. So, what was my point? The consultant. I remember being at Entercom at one point. We're just totally running over here. But being at Entercom, and Entercom brought in some consultant who was, you know, going to teach us talk radio the way it needs to be done, the way it ought to be. And
by the noted journalist from KFI, who we never heard of.
Totally, yeah. And they always have some resume that's padded with clearly fabricated jobs. Consultants are always people who've done like a weekend show and an overnight news writing shift. And then they get fired, they can't get another job, and then they decide that they're just going to market themselves as a consultant and have no illusions. That's what I'll do someday. Someday I'll market myself as a consultant, as, you know, how to reach the reach the hard to tap Generation X audience. How to get past Generation X cynicism and get them to buy your stuff. That's what I'll do someday when this quits panning out. But the guy, when they brought in that consultant at Entercom, I remember him sitting
This is the worst possible thing you could do, by the way, if you are interested in being in radio or if you are a consultant. Here's what should never happen. We're over here trying to do the show, and then that day, the consultant literally sat across the hall in a studio. He sat about 10 feet away. Ideally, you're never supposed to know the consultant is in town because it just screws up your whole day. Because you don't do the show the way you're supposed to do. You do the show the way you think the consultant wants you to do it, and that show always sucks. That show is always ass. It's like when you have some supervisor at your job, and he's spending all day walking from office to office with a clipboard, shaking his head silently and making little notations to himself. And so those are always the days on which you can't ever get anything done. You're spilling something in your cubicle, and you're inadvertently looking at kiddie porn on the screen. That's always how it happens. So it is with radio consultancy. I remember getting off the air that day, meeting with that consultant who had, I swear to God, like 8, 9, 10, 12 pages of notes about things we were doing wrong. Most of them things we had done because we were so nerve-wracked from that jackhole sitting across the office from us.
And mine was, there's concern that you don't have a featured intercom, and it turned out they were right. Thank you.
It was more accurate than they knew.
Thank you for liberating me.
We're big believers in the Emerson brand.
All right.
I wish I had that memo where they said that with the, because they said it to me in person, and then they said it to me in an email at one point, that they were big believers in the Emerson brand. I didn't know they meant Emerson brand toasters.
50. They're Emerson brand CD players. I have one at home.
You know, I read a report in like
they're
Time Magazine.
The cheapest.
Emerson Electronics is considered the single worst company to work for in America. I read a big report in Time Magazine about worst, like in terms of like human rights violations or beatings or whatever it is they do to people there. Emerson is considered the single worst company to work for. I wish I could find that article just so I could like Xerox it and blow it up and put it on the wall. All right. That's comedy is what that is.
Come and see the new look of Mall 205. Oh, it's not the mall you remember.
Who do we have?
The dress barn president in the front.
We power washed the blood away in the parking lot.
What kind of woman shops at the dress barn? I think you know. Brian, how you're on the Rick Emerson
show. Well, is the new Paris, you know.
It's true. Hi, Brian. How can I help you today?
Hey, I think I know who the mystery guest is. I know you're not going to cop to it, but I've just been I've been listening intently, and unless you snuck it by us, normally, and this is where you kind of faltered. You probably should have made a mention of this.
Oh wait, hold on. Are you now going to begin consulting the show and telling me what I've done incorrectly today?
Well, I do love the word jackhole.
Okay. Well, I can't take credit for that. That's Jimmy Kimmel.
Anyway, how's your woodcock?
Yes, thank you, sir.
Yeah, I think it's Lisa Goddard. You have not mentioned her name today, unless you snuck it by us, and you typically do within the first 15 or 20 minutes. You'll say, "Hey, we're going to be talking to Lisa Goddard about XYZ," and you didn't. You mentioned the other usual colors and not her.
Who else did I mention? Let's see how intently you really were listening.
I know.
Who did I mention that's going to be on today?
Jim Roop and crap. The gentleman from Atlanta, and you know, normally I know the names, and I've just got a mental farting right now.
I'm just saying, maybe you weren't listening quite as intently as you think. Maybe I did mention her name.
I gave the caveat that you may have snuck it by. And
to be fair, I should also say, to be fair, there is a rotating series of correspondents. Sometimes people are gone, they're taking days off, they're in transit, they're in the air. Who's to say?
Now you're just covering.
I'm just saying, brother.
Yeah.
There's only one way to find out, and that is to be at the listener party tonight, which it happens at 7 o'clock, which happens a mere 7.5 hours from this moment.
So. That's right. Subtitled the day before my birthday.
All right. You going to be there?
Hell yes.
All right, Brian. We will see you there tonight.
All right, brother.
Try to stop by Mall 205 on the way and thank them for their business.
All right, thank you.
All right, five. That's what I get for trying to sneak in one too many.
I know, that was too much.
All right, let's do one more. Hi, Jesse. You know, this audience is lousy with Jesse. Hi, Jesse. What's up, brother?
Not much, dude. Looking forward to the party tonight.
Thank you.
Finally get to meet everybody. I just thought it was funny because my buddy Luke got me listening to you.
Yes, sir.
So I went to Fred Meyer and bought a little boombox so I could, you know, listen to the radio and everything.
Yes, thank you.
Didn't even realize till a couple days later it says Emerson across the top of it.
Really?
We'll consider it supplemental advertising. But yeah, I read a big thing about it in, it was like Time or Newsweek, and they were listing companies that I think, and I apologize if I'm getting this wrong, but I think it was companies who have been sued most frequently by their own employees for workplace violations of one kind or another, and Emerson was the number one company by like the widest margin you can possibly imagine.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, because I just walked in the store, said, what's the cheapest boom?
What can I get for some cans and 15 cents?
Oh, no, I don't do the can thing, sorry, but, yeah, I don't know.
Excellent. All right.
I'm looking forward to tonight. Can't wait to meet you, man.
All right, we'll see you tonight, Jesse. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right, there you go. I think the party is starting a little early. Mike in Canby, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. I think I know who your mystery guest is.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave it away the other day by saying she was going to fly out in the afternoon and get here, which means she's close by. So I think it's your original producer, Christine.
Well, Christine.
Your original producer?
This is your guess.
Yes, that's my guess.
Now, you realize I can neither confirm nor deny anything, sir.
Well, when I come to the party tonight and make a fool of myself in drunken debauchery, I'll maybe dip off the floor or my drunken stupor and you'll say the name.
All right, well, we'll see. Maybe you're right. Maybe you are filled with incorrect shame.
So if I win, what do I get?
You get the special warm glow that comes from being right.
And that's all I need.
Yes,
that makes
right.
my life complete.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Mike and Ken. Okay.
So would that be a shopping spree at the dress bar?
Would you like to buy a skateboard for the younger set, perhaps?
Come and see the new look of Mall 205. Oh, it's not the mall you remember because...
All right, 503-733-2970. Have we broken yet?
No, we need to
break. All right, we have to break.
Yeah.
It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Listener Party 10 happens in 7 hours and 31 minutes. We'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Sit. It's the Rick Emerson Show. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Now 7 hours, 20 minutes away from Rick Emerson. Listener Party 10 happening tonight. We'll get Bob Costantini in about 10 seconds. Well, in fact, Carol, if you can hold on a second. We'll do Bob first. It says he's good. Yeah, no, he's doing very busy here. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Hello, Rick. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing today?
Monitoring the Gonzalez hearing.
Yes.
Today.
So now, is anything going to come of that, or is that going to be a lot of the sound and fury that ends up at just sort of sputtering itself out?
Well, at the moment, he has admitted that the 8 fired attorneys deserved better, the 8 fired U.S. attorneys. He said in his opening statement that he never sought to mislead or deceive anybody in Congress about some of his earlier statements that he really had little or nothing to do with these firings. And that is what even Republicans have been pressing him about in terms of, you know, well, how truthful was he when he made these statements? And he has, on a number of occasions, had to respond to questions from Democrats and Republicans regarding, well, you know, why did you say you had little or nothing to do with it when the memos that have appeared and statements from other people involved indicate that he did have a good deal of involvement in it, Rick.
And then, of course, the other big story is this war funding bill, oh, yeah. Which, and I guess they're trying to sort of pass it off as news that the White House and the Democratic leaders, that you can't come to any sort of rapprochement on it. But, of course, nobody really expected them to anyway, right?
Well, no, and they both went in there with rather hardened positions, it seems. I covered this yesterday. You knew the president is not going to accept anything that has a time frame and withdrawal time frame in it. The Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who is feeling her oats in some ways as the first female Speaker of the House and new Democrats in control, Senator Harry Reid there as well, trying to hit back at the president a little bit and say, you know, you've got to accept some kind of time frame, and if you don't, we'll send you something with even tougher time frames. But in the end, the Democrats are not going to have the votes probably that they need to send even something that would be tougher, because they just barely passed their two separate bills in the House and Senate. They barely did get past the House and Senate. Which, you know, would have some kind of time frame, a very soft time frame is probably the best way to put it.
Well, that's kind of the way, that's kind of what Democrats do, I suppose. They sort of sputter and then it just sort of, it's like a campfire, you can't quite keep going.
Well, they've indicated they will keep at it in terms of, you know, trying to oversee the war, and they certainly have changed the attitude on Capitol Hill towards, you know, how this war is being, you know, viewed. If you will, and you know, trying to keep track of monies and the whole situation, and how far the Iraqi government is going to taking over, you know, its own security obligations, that kind of thing. So, you know, the Democrats will certainly have a significant role to play. It's just that the way it's probably going to play itself out is next week they will send him one spending bill. They'll have to reconcile the differences between the House and Senate. Send him one spending bill. He will veto it and send it back, and then we go to round two, and that really, I don't necessarily want to predict, but I think in the end the Democrats will have to send him a funding bill, period.
All right.
and then you know, again, I don't know.
All right, Bob, I know you're a busy man. We'll let you get back to your actual job there. Of course, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We will speak with you soon.
My pleasure.
Enjoy your day,
as
Bob.
As always, Rick.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen,
thanks.
From the Hill, CNN Radio correspondent, Bob Costantini. It needs like a big explosion.
You're a real jerk.
It needs like a big sort of flourish at the end, like a...
No.
It really? It ends with the octopus, right? Well, anymore. It's 503-733-2970. I'm mangling that. 503-733-2970. All right, let's have speaks with... Is this Carol who is either coming or came from Tucson for the listener party?
Yes, indeed it is.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing dandy. So now you... What is it? How long is the flight from Tucson to here?
It seemed like it took forever. We left at about, I don't know, 1 o'clock, I think the flight left, and we showed up here a little bit after 7.
Fantastic. All right, so you are here, are you enjoying the sights and sounds of our finds? Have you been to Portland before?
No, I've never been here, but it's beautiful. We're just so amazed with how green everything is.
Well, it is. Well, yeah, in Tucson, see, here's a dumb question. I was on in Tucson at one point years ago. I had a radio show that was on in Tucson, but I never went there. I've never been to Tucson, so I don't know what it looks like. So, all right, so a couple of questions. A, and I probably have already asked you this at some point, but if you live in Tucson and you've never lived in Portland, how is it that you discovered the show?
Through your syndicated show that was on in Tucson.
Oh, really? So you listened to me when I was on KJLL, The Jolt.
The Jolt, yes.
Yes. Is The Jolt still around?
It is. I haven't listened in a long time, but yes.
Well, of course. What is there to listen to now? My show is gone. There's no point. This is great, actually, and I will say this. Anybody who listened, and as much as I knock the sort of syndicated version of the show we did a few years ago, there are a lot of people who discovered us at that time, and for that, I can never... It's like, you know what it is? That syndicated show is like a hit single that the artist really doesn't care for, but that you sort of have to appreciate because it sort of brought a lot of people to you. I feel about that syndicated show the way that John Mellencamp feels about Jack and Diane, which is that he doesn't really like that song. He said, he's like, I don't really care for it. But he's like, you know, it's how everybody found me, and so who can, you know, I can't really hold a grudge against it. So you will actually see a lot of stuff from behind the scenes during that era when you were listening to the show, so you'll want to see that.
Cool.
All right, so you got about 7 hours until the listener party starts. What do you guys got on the agenda? Maybe we'll give you some quick highlights, things to do in Portland while you are here. Sarah, quick observations, thoughts, people from out of town who've never been here. If she's going to do one thing between now and 7 o'clock, what should she do?
She'd probably go see Powell's.
Yeah, seriously. Go to Powell's City of Books, which is on Burnside and I think, 10th?
Okay.
Something like that?
No, I think the higher thing, like 11th or 12th.
Okay, but it's on Burnside and 11th. It's literally, it is the largest independent bookstore in the entire continental United States. It is, no lie, it's several city blocks. You got to see Powell's bookstore. So go see that. That's it. And then there's a fantastic pizza sort of catty corner from there called Rocco's. You do that, man, your afternoon is set. And then you can and then we'll see you tonight.
Oh yeah, that pizza's awesome.
So hit Powell's bookstore, and then we will see you. What is your friend's name?
Krista.
Krista. So we will see you and your friend Krista tonight. Now, be sure to find... Now, Sarah's going to be there. Tim's going to be there. We'll all be there. We'll have, you know, little lanyard laminate things that say, that say Emerson Hitrick. So find us and be sure to introduce yourself to us tonight. We want to meet you.
Of course. We are so looking forward to it.
Cool. We'll see you tonight, Carol. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Rick.
That's Carol from...
That's so rad.
How cool is that? Carol and Krista. From all the way up from Tucson. Carol, who said she looks like old school Terry Garr, which is great. Powell's, that's right. Good call on that.
Thanks.
All right.
I'm all under pressure.
You do. Oh, I didn't have it ready.
Oh.
I was going to say, you do well under pressure. You mean when you have to...
Come and see the new look of Mall 205. Oh, it's not the mall you remember.
It's 503-733-297. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Let's see. What do we have here? This email says... What the hell? Rick, be honest now. If that clip you're playing of Sarah pimping the dress barn is the most embarrassing thing she's ever done on the radio, she's in fine shape, Mr. Pet Patrol. Signed, Wayne Boggs. All right, thank you. Thanks for that. Appreciate that.
You don't have any more spots that I... Is there anything worse than that one?
I suppose it's all relative. I haven't... the only things I pulled off the cassettes you gave me, and again, I should say, I didn't... These aren't things I rummaged for. You came in and handed the cassettes to me and said, maybe there's something good on here, or words to that effect. One of them is called Sarah's Air Checks, and one of them is called Sarah's Commercial Tape. The Air Check had... That, and it had a bunch of traffic. It had a bunch of you going, like, slow and go all the way on the Banfield, or whatever the hell you would say. And then the other, the commercial one, I haven't listened to. So who knows? Well, I'll bring a cassette deck in here. We'll find out what else is on. So I don't know what else is on there. Let's see. Rick, this email says, are cameras allowed or encouraged at the party? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Because we've actually... Got to the point, we used to have, like, I mean, and the Vanished Twin guys, we should say the Vanished Twin Photography will be there taking professional photographs, but we actually have now become dependent on, in a big way, on the listeners to get some of the more interesting or candid shots or just things that maybe the regular photographers, you know, they don't say, they don't, you know, they're only two men, so they can't get every angle all the time. So, yeah, absolutely, bring a camera, bring a video camera, bring whatever. That is tonight, 7 p.m., Barracuda. All right. Let's see. We got, what, 10 minutes till the top? Trying to figure out if I've got... I don't have time.
We'll probably need to break in a few to start the new news hour.
All right. Then, let's see. Rick, please keep playing Sarah's Mall 205 promo. It really is gold. I mean it. It's gold. It's the gold audio equivalent of a yearbook photo featuring a smiling brace face flag team, Sarah. Embarrassingly hilarious, but a snapshot of a time before radio had rotted her soul from within.
It's true.
It's true. You should try to shame her to doing a new Mall 205 bit, extolling the virtues of the Olive Garden and the Verizon store. See you at the listener party. I'll be the drunk one. Thank you, sir. Let's see. Let me just read a few more of these, and then I think we'll just read a couple of emails, and then we'll take a break. Rick, about the mystery guest. Based on your conversation yesterday, the mystery guest flight, on the length of the mystery guest flight, your speculation implies the mystery guest is indeed Luke from Australia. Well, maybe it is, maybe it's not. Let's see, how about this? Oh, this is creepy. Okay, so somebody said that Dennis Miller listed all of the creepy things from this week. I'd forgotten about this. Okay, this week. Waco happened this week. McVeigh blew up Oklahoma City. Columbine shootings. The Virginia Tech shootings. And it's Hitler's birthday.
He didn't blow up all of Oklahoma City. It might seem like it.
No. Well, how much really? What else? What else is
it's
there?
It's like blowing up Baghdad, really.
Blowing up a sandlot. There's just nothing else. The rest of that place is just... The rest of that place is just... is just flatland. There's just nothing there. Good God. All right. Michael in Seaside, he says, but I'm in town for the party. God bless you, sir. Thank you. All right. It's 503-733-2970. I don't think we have time to read anything else here. Things to do in pause here. See, now I'm getting criticism for sending her to a bookstore. Sorry. Rick.
I forget not everyone's about the reading.
Well, I mean...
It's heaven to dorks like you and me, but...
Seriously. Sorry. I didn't mean to be all thinky.
There's a big magazine section and a coffee shop.
Rick, a faithful listener comes all the way from Tucson and you send her to a bookstore. She's in Portland and you tell her to go look at books. Are you insane? Thank God you're not a tour guide. Seriously,
there might have been some picture books.
Well, she could go to the waterfront.
And really, and just up yours, pal. Powell, I mean, Powell's is not just a book.
Defensive.
No, seriously. It's not being defensive. Powell's is an amazing place. That's the thing. It's not...
Well, it's one of the one of a kind things that we have.
And I would say to you, sir, you say that you criticize me for when someone comes to Portland and send her to a bookstore. What kind of Portlander are you that you would not tell someone to look at Powell's? Really, I mean, honestly, come on. If somebody came to Portland, I mean, unless we're just talking to somebody who can't read, or Scotty, I mean, really, why would you not send somebody to Powell's? I'm not saying there aren't great places to go, but let's be honest here. What are the other places you would tell her to go? They'd be strip clubs and places where she can get boozed up. And we got all that covered tonight. There's really anything else you would tell her to do, which would involve music, liquor, or boobs, that's all covered tonight. So really, she ought to get the intellectual stuff out of the way today, now, because then all the brain-trashing stuff will happen this evening at Barracuda. That's all I'm saying, brother. I'm just trying to cover all angles. And really, you know, you could do worse than to send somebody from out of town to Powell's. Powell's is a pretty great, accurate depiction of our fair city. So, yeah, so you can eat that, is what you can do. I stand by my recommendation.
That wasn't your recommendation, it was mine.
Yeah, I stand by Sarah's recommendation. I stand by Sarah's recommendation that you buy some things for the younger set at Mall 205.
At Harry Ritchie Jewelers and the Dress Barn. If you're shopping for teens, you'll find great skateboarding gear from Fuel or Hot Trends from Casual Choice.
What?
Or for the younger ones, shop at the Learning Palace and discover award-winning toys and games. And when all your shopping makes you hungry, Mall 205's new food court has a variety of flavors from around the world. So come and see the new look of Mall 205, where you'll find a whole new shopping experience. That's Mall 205 off I-205 in Southeast Washington.
I like you have to note that Mall 205 is off I-205.
You know what? You're a dick.
Thank you. All right. It's 503-733.
I just read the copy. I don't even remember doing that.
No, neither do I. I don't remember doing any of the things that my voice is on most of the time. Can I just tell you this? I don't really remember. I don't mean to sound like I'm constantly diminishing that national show, but I don't remember anything about that. That was all one big blur to me. One big depression-soaked blur. That's all. All right, we should take a break. We'll come back. Tim Riley comes up next to the AM 970 Noon News Hour Desk Place Thing Truth Ministry. And whatnot. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. You stay there. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program at 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, seeing our radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Also got the top five, our hunt for the worst story ever. And we are 7 hours away from Listener Party 10. Having a good night. April 19th, 7 p.m. That is tonight, 7 p.m. Barracuda, 9 Northwest 2nd. No cover, no minimum, anything. Just be there, my friends. We got another... you were asking, there's a lot today. We got Rick. This email says... may we bring our own camera? Yes, absolutely. Now, we'll say that a few more times. Absolutely, bring your own camera, your own video camera, your own whatever. Guy says, I'd be happy to share any photos I could take. If you look at the, you know, kind of the collection of photos we've got from various listener parties over the years, the bulk of them, they've come from the people. They've come from the audience. So, yeah, absolutely come. Photograph anything. Let's see, we got another question here. Rick, should my wife be coming as a schoolgirl? The answer to that is a big yes, sir. It's obviously not required, but we encourage everybody, if you're all women in the audience, find yourself a schoolgirl outfit. Come. It makes really... Anything that is worth doing in a schoolgirl outfit. That would kind of be the motto of our party. So, yes, absolutely, sir. This email says, Rick, I was on a plane last night listening to one of your shows from December. God bless you. The day the guy told the story about pushing his date into a bunch of nutria, you said it would be great to give a nutria. A nutria is one of those big rat-like things that they have down by the Willamette. You said it. I don't remember saying this. Sarah was talking about how she just reads the copy shoved right in front of her, Ron Burgundy style, and doesn't even remember it. I don't remember saying this. Apparently, I said something about giving away a nutria at a listener party, and apparently I said this. Quote, we should catch one and put it into a box, wrap it in twine, and throw it into the crowd. And why would I ever have said that?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember it either. No, did you see that? I listened to the show yesterday on tape, she said.
Wait, what show was it?
It was a show from December that she was on a plane, and so rather than watch a movie or whatever, she was listening to some of our old shows.
It's a great idea. I wish I'd heard it a week ago. Scotty doesn't have time to catch
I would totally believe it because all the random crap that comes out of your mouth.
No, it really is true. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, depending on where she was at, this is Carol from Tucson. There are only three places to go. Powell's, OMSI, or the Oregon Zoo. OMSI and the zoo are both long-haul propositions and the farthest away from Barracuda, so you and Sarah made an excellent choice. I also would have accepted the Chinese gardens in Chinatown. About that naysayer who criticized you sending Carol from Tucson to Powell's. He didn't say where he would have sent them, did he? Was it the Clackamas Town Center with the adjoining claim jumper? What about the new Macaroni Grill or the JCPenney's at Lloyd Center?
I like the Macaroni Grill.
I'm just reading the email.
I could sit there all day and eat that bread.
Okay. Everything is hilarious to me today. The email concludes...
I didn't know there was a new Macaroni Grill.
The email concludes, if he doesn't think Powell's is rates visiting, he is an asshat. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, he could sit there all day and eat that bread.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, let me see, as I was saying, there were seeds... what they call the lung and rambling communication. You already probably saw most of this anyway. The package sent to the network included a series of writings, videos, and photographs.
When the time came, I did it. I had to.
And that's the first one.
So this is what's his name? This is Cho.
Cho Sung-hoo.
The shooter, yeah.
Yeah. Colonel Steve Flaherty, the superintendent of Virginia State Police, said it could bring more insight on why this all happened.
The originals were turned over to the FBI and they're in the process of transporting those back. We've been working with the FBI, the ATF, Virginia Tech Police Department since discovering that this new evidence existed. This may be a very new critical component of this investigation.
There's no critical component. There's no evidence. There's no nothing. He's crazy, and crazy people do crazy things. That's the bottom line.
Pushed around and laughed at.
You know, but
after high school, you move on with your life.
Seriously, they say that, but at a certain point, you grow a sack and you move past it. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to ask Ed McCarthy this later, but has there, and I do have a reason for asking this, has there been any evidence to our knowledge that has come out about this guy being, I don't know, being the victim of like a sexual assault at some point?
Not yet.
Because I was listening to, what the hell was it? It was whatever Lara had on the car, NPR, last night, and some ass clown reporter was talking. She basically just came out and said... She said, well, I watched this, and there's no doubt in my mind that he was sexually abused repeatedly. And which is the most retarded thing to say. If there's no evidence, I'm not saying it's not true, because who knows? That's the point. Nobody knows. But when you say that, it's like an implicit accusation against an implication of his family. So some ass clown woman was just bumping her gums about it last night on NPR, claiming that I can tell he's been sexually abused. Maybe he's just crazy. I forget who it was that made that observation a few years ago, but this idea that somehow everything had a trigger or a cause, sometimes people are just goddamned nuts. They're just plain nuts. That's all capitals.
There are plenty of them out there.
Seriously.
In the video, Cho blames others for what he did.
You got 100 billion chances and ways to have avoided today, but you decided to spill my blood. You forced me into a corner and gave me only one option. The decision was yours. Now you have blood on your hands that will never wash off.
He sounds like an older booby.
Man, he's creepy.
I'm going to try to stand really far away and be muffled so that no one can really understand my last words.
Sounds like he's anchoring on Northwest News Channel.
You're totally right. He kind of does sound like an older booby doctor. You're right. Wait, hold on. Do I have the
booby doctor grows up?
It's too soon.
Yeah, you're right. It is.
Too soon.
I won't. I'll take that back.
Too soon. Let's see. Maybe we should have made the booby doctor the special guest. Let's see.
Is he available?
That's the creepiest thing you've ever said.
The booby doctor? Everybody loves the
booby doctor is in.
Well, we don't know how to locate his people.
Yeah, and he's like 12.
Booby doctor is in.
Not anymore. I mean, he'd be 15 now, probably. Old enough for Katie Couric to date. We'll get to that later.
Well, she can't seem to pull herself off the floor. She is not sure in the car.
I'm okay!
Katie,
what? Goodness, you have, to me!
You have 10 seconds. Lean on the desk.
Don't bother to sit down. I'm just trying to stand.
Pardon me, Miss Savage. It's time to do the news.
It's a little journalistic humor there. All right, yeah, so... This idiot. I mean, seriously, he couldn't even figure out how to use YouTube. Maybe he was angry because he was so technically inept.
He said he did this for others. Apparently, somewhere in this, he said he did it for his children, but he doesn't have
to. I didn't have to do this. I could have left. I could have fled. But no, I will no longer run. It's not for me. For my children. For my brothers and sisters. That you
crazy.
And then he compares himself to Jesus Christ.
Of course,
like the older. A piece of you have vandalized my heart, raped my soul, and torched my conscience. You thought it was one pathetic boy's life you were extinguishing. Thanks to you, I die, like Jesus Christ, to inspire generations of the weak and the defenseless people.
You'll be forgotten next week.
Seriously, generations of the what? The reaping? He's come about the reaping. Whatever. You know, it's pretty bad when you just start speaking in bad gothic MySpace cliff notes. You have vandalized my soul. Why are they always so goddamn incompetent when it comes to art or anything? They're all, it's like the same thing with the, you know, when I was making this observation yesterday about Hitler. They're all just bad, frustrated poet laureates, apparently. Mm-hmm. They all are. Goddamn. But so the guy is just so clearly crazy, which in a way sort of makes me feel better. Because, not that you can really feel good about this, but it does, I mean, I feel better that he's, and I still stand by my claim that the Columbine kids are creepier. The Columbine kids are creepier, they're scarier, they're more unnerving, they have a longer lasting impact than this guy will, and I'm not trying to minimize obviously the death and the suffering, but in terms of his cultural impact, which is obviously what he wanted. He's just a big attention-whoring bastard, like all of them. He's just, I mean, and there was that, he made a lot of references that sounded to me like he was bitter about not getting laid more. There was a lot of, you enjoy your hedonism, which sounds a lot to me like, you know, why don't you go to the prom with me?
Well, here's the other problem, and I think it's an American problem. Because he's Asian and isn't white, he's not going to be remembered.
Well, no, that's the...
White people, bad white people are always remembered. If you're not white, you're going to...
I think we'll bleep that.
So we all have had to bleep ourselves this week.
That was a great comment. Maybe someday we'll play it. Maybe someday we'll have an unedited version.
Maybe no. I should go back and be a DJ at night.
Would you like to bark like a dog, Babs? So, well, it is true that the media fixates in any crime. The media fixates on the white people. That's right. Totally it. I mean,
what would happen if Jesse James was an Asian fellow?
No, Jesse Hong.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a joke there somewhere.
I know, but it's too soon again. Unfortunately, this program does not lend itself to these incidents.
You mean it's too soon after having had to bleep your other Asian comment? Anywho, no, but you're right. It's like the Natalie Holloway thing. In fact, did they ever find her? The Aruba girl?
I forgot all about her.
No, I don't think so.
See, but it's the whole thing about, you know, those news flashes that come out. Well, there's a missing white girl. Everything has to stop. Repeat, a white girl is missing from somewhere.
Mm.
And so the proof of this is you compare the Columbine kids and compare them to the D.C. snipers. Both of whom are black. The media in all stories, this is absolute, and you're right, it is an American problem. This is an American pathology.
Mm-hmm.
That if you are not white, the media tends to lose interest in you pretty quickly. If you're white, the media will just stay on that story like green on grass forever.
I'm just speaking the truth.
No, it's true. No, it is an American, it is a pathology of the American media that they, in any sort of crime, whether you are the victim or the perpetrator, the American media tends to find white people vastly more deserving of camera time for some reason. So, no, you're absolutely right about that. That is also the JonBenet Ramsey syndrome there. So,
yes.
Now, in this guy, so I'm watching this last night, and I didn't watch a whole lot of it, because how much of this do you really need to see before you can just figure out the guy's just, he's just beans upstairs. He's just gone. He's gone away. My wife, who deals with crazy people all the time, she said, and obviously this is a snap pop, you know, this is not a pop culture, not a pop psychology thing, because, you know, she does, you know, this is what she does. But, you know, she's just sitting on the couch watching 30 seconds of it. And she said, from her vantage point, he looks a lot like the people she deals with that are undergoing what she calls a schizophrenic break, which is where you're kind of crazy, kind of crazy, kind of crazy, trigger, I'm totally crazy. And then one day you just wake up and it's one day everything has just sort of shifted around enough inside that you're just completely and totally nuts. And she said and I've heard a few other people who work with the nuts.
So at that point, they're only given plastic utensils by your wife.
Plastic utensils and loafers. That's exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Something they can't hurt themselves or other people with.
Eating everything through a straw, and you're putting on shoes with Velcro. That's it. And you have no Venetian blinds. But she said it looked like he was undergoing some sort of a schizophrenic break. And in a weird way, that makes me feel better about the whole thing because, like, the Columbine kids didn't seem, and I always go back to them because they are so much like the what we judge all of these against in recent times. The Columbine kids didn't seem overtly crazy. I mean, on the outside, they were completely functional. I mean, they had discipline problems, but I mean, they were functional. They were much younger, which makes it even creepier that they were, you know, they were able to prepare this for a whole year, and they were literally gleeful about it. Like, you, any of those video diaries the Columbine kids made where they were clearly, it's like they were getting ready for a gigantic trip to Chuck E. Cheese or something. They just couldn't wait. They were all giddy and excited and happy. They did everything but high-five each other and, like, slap each other's buttocks in a locker room. Whereas this guy, I mean, so the Columbine kids may have been crazy, but what is creepy about them is they just seem sort of evil. Like, they just seemed like bad, bad, terrible, black-souled people. As opposed to this guy, who in a weird way comforts me a little bit because he was just nuts. Like, there was no master plan as such. He wasn't, it wasn't like a political thing. There wasn't some agenda. He was just a guy who was crazy. And I mean, a crazy guy and a lot of guns mixed together will give you this outcome X out of 1,000 times. So,
but in a country of 300 million people, I mean,
that's the point. That's exactly my point. And this is part of living in a free society underneath the Bill of Rights and so forth. You've got 300 million people. If 1%, I don't know what 1% of 300 million is, but it's a lot. I mean, 1% is half of 1% of 300 million people. If they're just walking around on the knife edge of mental collapse, as many guns as we have in this country, I mean, we are just awash in guns and weapons in America. So, there just isn't anything you can do about this. And the crazy people pop up like some sort of psychotic whack-a-mole every now and again. And, you know, this guy's just the latest. So, all right. Any other comments you'd like to make, Tim?
There are some things on my mind that...
You'll wait and say them on satellite in a few years?
I will, yes. To like a dozen listeners.
You and Bernard McGurk.
Yeah.
when we're all hosting a show with Sid Rosenberg.
That's true, yes. Accepting tapes and resumes.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
So let's talk about even more about this, shall we?
Of course. Can we just talk about it endlessly?
The Virginia State Police Colonel, Steve Flaherty, is upset that NBC chose to air this tape.
We appreciate NBC's cooperation, and they're cooperating with all the authorities. Though we're rather disappointed in the editorial decision to broadcast these disturbing images.
Oh, like there was ever any... Did you see that garbage that NBC was slinging this morning? But it was an agonizing choice. We didn't really know what to do. It was such an agonizing choice that they put the NBC News logo over every single frame of it and every single still shot that went out to the rest of the media. You look at that... I mean, it was like full-on Perez Hilton-style branding. Every photograph you've seen of that guy today, bam, big NBC News logo and the peacock right in the middle of it. I mean, they want to make damn sure that everybody... apparently, the mass murderer's first choice is NBC. So, there you go.
Yes, they continue to be even more upset.
Over the last news cycle, families of the victims, they have endured. Virginia Tech family has endured, and indeed the world has endured a view of life that few of us should ever have to endure.
Well, there was no decision about it. The NBC people, clearly, there was no agony. There was no... The only agonizing thing was how they were going to try to alert the rest of the media to it without looking like they were just there, you know, just feeding off of this whole thing, which is, I mean, that's what they do. I have no...
And they did it right before the 6 o'clock news on the East Coast, because it came over shortly before we went off the air at 3, and add 3 hours to that on the East Coast. So they were teasing that whole thing for the East Coast.
Really?
Okay, so I mean, when
that's the way it works.
I mean, when I left here to get some dinner last night around, I don't know, 5:30, 5:45, something like that, and Dave Zinn was already watching it at the front desk online.
Right.
It was already being streamed online. So it's, I mean, and so he. So I wonder when they got it. I'm unclear about this. Did he send it in the mail?
Yes.
Or did he email it?
He sent it to 30 Rock.
He sent it to 30 Rock. All right. So.
All right. Well, there you
go. Which is pretty amazing. I mean, with all the mail that they get in there.
Totally.
That somebody found that so fast.
Yeah.
No, it's you know, I mean, unless it was, I don't know how it was labeled. It couldn't have been labeled. Well, maybe it was labeled.
It had the wrong zip code, I believe.
Did it?
Yeah.
It couldn't have been labeled all that crazily, although I guess it was, because I guess if he's dead at that point, it doesn't matter if he tips his hand about, like, you know, enclosed tapes from crazy guy. So, well, yeah, so they got it, and they immediately, I mean, you can tell, as you said, that there was no journalistic and editorial debate about that at all. They got it, and they immediately just slapped their logo on it, which is fine. I have no,
I have no
illusions about the medium.
You know, it must have been upsetting for NBC to see all their numbers dwindle because 2 million more people were watching CNN than they usually do.
Yeah, it's true. No, that is absolutely true.
Larry King started it, and CNN kept that entire audience 2.5 million, and usually they average around 600,000 at any given time.
So I imagine that expedited any sort of decision-making process.
People that weren't even watching Fox News.
One more reason for Katie Couric to drink.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's what's happening. Meanwhile, the Virginia Tech Vice President of Academic Affairs, Dr. Mark McNamee, said the school has decided they will allow students to choose how to finish out the semester.
They will be able to make a choice among several options for how they would like to complete that course for the semester.
Homeschool by mail, please.
Homeschooling,
yeah.
So far will be sufficient for them to receive a grade in that class.
Yeah, please. Can I just do that over the Internet from another continent? Thank you.
Degrees will be awarded to those who were killed.
The president has approved a decision to award all students who were killed on Monday posthumous degrees from Virginia Tech for the degree they were pursuing. And we are actually going to award those degrees during the regular commencement exercises that the students would have participated in with their friends.
Meredith Vieira on the Today Show said these images were not taken lightly by NBC News.
We understand that this is going to be seen as devastating to many people who lost loved ones in this shooting. In fact, I will tell you that we had planned to speak to some family members of victims this morning, but they canceled their appearances because they were very upset with NBC for airing the images.
All right. Well, so there you go. There's Meredith Vieira. This email says, Rick, I'm the guy who herds retards for a living. I swear to God, that's what this email is. It's H-E-A-R-D-S. Is that Heards? Herds?
Heards?
Maybe he means...
H-E-A?
H-E-A-R-D-S.
Yeah.
Heards. Really? You must have your handful. And he says, I deal with schizophrenics as well. He says, you are dead on about Cho, and especially about profilers and news pundits talking out of their asses about him. It's junk news. Yeah, that he's just crazy. And barring any evidence beyond that, everything else is just pure, it's just ass conjecture. There's just nothing there. There's no reason to assume anything else for now. All right.
And then Matt Lauer, who's also on the Today Show, said there were several views watching this.
Obviously, at NBC News, we always want to cover the important stories of the day. And the massacre at Virginia Tech is one of the most disturbing and tragic stories any of us will ever cover. But we're not used to becoming part of the story. And with this package that he sent us, Cho Sung-hui has made us in some ways part of the story.
Lauer?
I barely knew her.
The only precedent I can think of for this is... What is that? There's the Zodiac thing. The first thing I thought of, actually, was the Zodiac, because of that, you know, where he was communicating with the newspapers and so forth, and there was that thing where he called...
The Munich Olympics, 1972.
There's that, too. And then what is the... God, what is that... What is it I'm thinking? Oh, it's in Radio Waves, which is the Jim Ladd book, where there was... was it the SLA, the guy... Is it the Symbionese Liberation Army
that captured
Patty Hearst? And they communicated through KMET, I believe. Maybe it wasn't KMET. Maybe it was a previous station that Jim Ladd had worked at. But anyway, there's a great book about radio.
KMET.
I mean, he was before that, he was at...
Back in the old days.
Who was he? It doesn't matter. We've been busy talking about a radio station in Los Angeles from 40 years ago. But... The SLA communicated with radio stations where they would call up and they'd be like, go to such and such a movie theater in the third row, fifth seat from the left, there's a cassette tape. And it would be a cassette tape left by somebody from the Symbionese Liberation Army. So, I mean, for him to say that we're not used to being part of the story, I mean, it certainly isn't without precedent. I mean, it does happen a lot. I mean, the Unabomber did the same thing.
Anderson Cooper is always part of the story.
Anderson Cooper, what did I see him... what did I see him doing last night? He was beating up on a rapper. Not physically. I don't really know
that. Oh, that was Cameron. We'll have that later.
All right. So, but there certainly is a lot of precedent for journalistic outlets to become a conduit for messages from criminals like this.
So there.
All right.
Well, it was 12 years ago today that Oklahoma City became the scene of the worst terrorist attack on U.S. soil before 9/11. It was April 19th, 1995, at 9.02 a.m. A truck exploded outside the Alfred B. Mirra Federal Building, killing 168, including 19 children. More than 800 were injured. Here's reaction from a bomb survivor immediately after that blast.
Because of this guy, I might have lost my 3-year-old daughter and my husband and my 4-year-old. Whoever did this, I hope you're happy.
And this is, and this, that was Oklahoma City?
That was Oklahoma City.
So that was what 19 when?
1995.
What was I doing in 1995? Oh, I was doing talk radio at that point.
I was still a nighttime DJ at that point.
And I'm trying to remember, God, these stories all, this sounds terrible to say, but these stories all sort of blend together in your head after a while because so...
That was a long time ago.
Well, and because so many of them have similar components, because there was, especially coming from the Northwest, where this had... You weren't living here when the Randy Weaver thing happened, were you? Randy Weaver, the Ruby Ridge standoff in Idaho. Were you living in the Northwest during that time?
No.
All right.
No.
So that had happened before. There was this guy, this nutcase white supremacist. I'm sorry.
This nutcase gentleman?
He's proud of his race. I'm sorry. He's a white separatist named Randy Weaver who lived in a place called Ruby Ridge in Idaho. And there was a big standoff between him and, I think, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, or maybe it was the FBI. Like I said, they all kind of blend, and that was around the same time that Waco happened. God damn, the 90s were weird. The 90s were a really weird, strange time, especially if you were like a right-wing nutcase. Now that I think about that, and maybe I view it through a different prism, probably like you do, Tim, because I was in the media and I was in radio. But the 90s, it seemed like everything was being filtered through this insane, extreme, right-wing, really weird, militant, arm-to-the-teeth, paranoid view of the world. And it was always guys in trailers in Montana. So I remember
when... And then it got worse by the time this administration rolled around.
It's never really gotten better. We've just gotten used to it, I think. But I remember the Oklahoma City thing happened, and I remember hearing, I hope I'm not confusing these cases now, I remember hearing that there were Muslim-looking men who had sped away in a white van. That was the first story we heard about the Oklahoma City bombing. Is they said, well, it does look... And so that was pre-9/11, obviously, and I think that was pre the first attack. When was the first attack in the World Trade Center?
Oh, I don't remember now.
Was that before or after Oklahoma City? Boy, when you talk about it like...
Was it before Oklahoma City?
You know, when we talk about it like this, this is a really messed up country. I mean, now that I'm... I mean, I don't mean...
That's better than Russia.
I'm not trying to sound flip about it, but goddamn, listen to the timeline of things we're having to keep straight. Was that before or after the first bombing of the World Trade Center? Was that before or after 9/11? What about Ruby Ridge? What about Waco? What about Columbine? This country is effed, man. This country is really, really effed in a lot of ways. All right, so...
What about the guy that committed all those robberies in the South and his targets?
The happy face.
A happy face.
No one ever talks about that guy.
That's one of my favorite
movies. I love that guy. He is one of my favorite mad bombers.
Mm-hmm.
There was
a movie or anything, really.
No, there
wasn't a paperback.
The smiley face bomber. Sarah, do you remember the smiley face bomber?
Nope.
Okay, and that was only like 10 years ago. There was a guy who was driving across the country setting off bombs, and if you looked at a map of the United States and put a pin where all the bombs were going off, he was trying to make a huge happy face. People don't talk about that guy.
Really?
True
That's
story.
The
happy
face bomber.
Tim will back me up. It's a true story. Happened like 8-9 years ago in America. A guy was, a little creativity, a little wit he had.
It was kind of fun. But
a guy was...
As long as nobody got hurt.
And I don't think anybody did.
Okay.
A guy was driving around the country, setting off bombs, trying to make a happy face on the map. I mean, that's a guy that has a little spark to him. You know what it is? That's a crime with Retson. Okay. I got to stop here because we're kind of getting ourselves twisted up. So here's the thing. Oklahoma City happened 12 years ago this week. I remember when that story happened, the first news we heard was that, of course, guys with dark skin were seen driving away in a van. That's always the first report you hear of anything like this. You know, police were on the lookout for a black male. That's always what they say. And, of course, it wasn't. But that's the first thing we heard, is like Muslim-looking guys in a van. And then I don't even remember the timeline for when they found Tim McVeigh.
I have the Tim McVeigh execution here. Who wants to hear it?
Oh, me.
All right.
Pursuant to the sentence of the United States District Court in the District of Colorado, Timothy James McVeigh has been executed by lethal injection.
That's just a couple years ago, right?
Yep.
And then what's his name? So there's Tim McVeigh, and there was...
That was 2001.
And there was... Who is his accomplice?
Terry Nichols.
Terry Nichols. What happened to him? Is he dead?
I don't remember what happened to him.
It all drifts together, doesn't it? Yeah. All the craziness sort of blends together. Okay. And then there was Waco. But Waco happened before Tim McVeigh, and I know...
Terry Nichols was spared the death penalty. So he's still alive.
All right, so he's still rotting out there somewhere, being beaten in a shower. So Waco happened before Oklahoma City, and I know that because I was in Spokane when the Branch Davidian compound caught fire, and because Tim McVeigh, they found out later that one of Tim McVeigh's motivations for Oklahoma City was to avenge blah, 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 the Branch Davidians. So... All right. This whole country is just like one bad day from coming apart at the seams, I think.
Mortal love.
Okay. The happy face bomber. I got to look him up on Wikipedia.
I don't know if he's still around or not.
I think he's in jail, but I'm saying, and I don't believe he harmed anybody, and if so, I don't mean to make light of that. I'm just saying, that's kind of an interesting crime.
Well, he tried.
He didn't really make it. I think he only got like half the face and one eye done. All right. Hello there. Okay, so it is now 12:30, 6.5 hours away from Rick Emerson Listener Party 10. All of these phone calls coming in. People can't wait to talk about. Let's see, we got Waco, the guy, the nut job who sent the thing to the show guy who sent the thing to NBC. Somebody wants to talk about Asian actors. Let's see, what else do we have? Well, whoever this is on line four. All right, well, we'll take a break here. We'll come back with more of Tim Riley and these. If you're on hold, please hang tight. We'll get right to you when we get back. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. You stay right there.
Uncomfortable. I'm sorry, Tim.
Hold on. Okay. You've already got one ball gag, so if there's another one, that's mine.
Oh, you shut your mouth.
Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970.
How can anyone at my age be uncomfortable about hearing this?
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Lurking outside in the hallway with
a huge basket.
With a big red basket. Our good friend Dennis Pritzenbarger. Hello, sir.
Hello. I'm very excited about this evening. But, I mean, you were talking about ball gags, and I thought, what would be better than a ball gag than a giant bag of porn? And I seem to always be bestowed with the honors of bringing the giant bags of porn.
Is this from your house?
No. We keep that to ourselves. I think this is actually a gift from one of the friends of the program.
Is this from the fine
folks at Taboo Adult Video?
I believe so.
You're just opening it for us.
Okay, now let's stop. First of all,
I won't even say what that is.
Bringing in a big box of adult items and toys and so forth, and then you just immediately start opening it.
I'll tape that back up. Hold on.
So this is really just a bunch of stuff that was given to us that you're now asking to use.
No, I'm taking it away from you.
That really is a huge basket of adult items right there.
What is that?
Isn't this like the fourth basket of stuff we've gotten from Taboo?
You still have all my
I believe
time.
So, yes.
Tim, do you still have your sexual etiquette book that you got from last time?
Oh, I'm sure I do, yeah.
Okay.
I refer to it often.
And I also want to say thank you. I am wearing the worst shirt ever.
Dennis is wearing the What Happened to My Pants shirt.
All right. Scissors.
Oh, here. Let me just...
Dennis can't wait to open this big basket of porn.
Oh, good for the love of God.
I'm sure, you know, people at home think that radio sounds like it's on fire.
For those just listening, it probably sounds like we're opening up a big basket of corn.
You can say what that
or
is.
A bag of static.
You know what this is? This is expensive.
Okay.
Okay, I'll get this.
Let's try to. Okay, let's move that away from the microphone.
Is that a large?
Is that here? Keep a door open.
No, that's something else.
Sticker on the back.
Well, there is a door involved.
Sticker.
I knew that was.
No, hold on. Sticker.
I barely knew her.
I'll take this.
All right.
Oh, this, Rick, that might be for you.
Oh, good lord.
There's
a male version there.
I can't fit inside that.
Is that a change purse?
yes, it is indeed.
You're, like, stressful.
Okay, let's go through this in a while. Let's set this aside and let's move on with the news hour.
This is more of a visual activity.
Well, and, Dennis... Okay, it's just unnerved me the way you're actively rooting around inside a box
like
of things.
All right, Dennis.
I'll stay out of the porn.
Right, it's like the boy who got up a little bit too early to open his Christmas presents one morning, and then Santa made them all disappear.
Santa will take that dildo if you're not good. Oh. All right.
Should I be leaving now?
Santa needs that magic egg at home. Oh. Mrs. Claus and I have an understanding.
Is that something from, the way it looked, it was something from Hickory Farms, but... Upon opening it, I see it looks a little bit different than that.
Dennis!
I'm just...
Seriously, dude.
Okay.
Okay, you...
All right. I'm leaving.
I want you to know that Dennis was way... Look, not that we're not grateful, but I'm saying Dennis was way more excited about this basket of porn than anybody. Dennis couldn't wait to open it and then begin actively rooting through it.
Well, it's been sitting in my office all day, so I wanted to... You know, I've been looking at it through the plastic sheet.
You've been looking at it lovingly?
Well...
Been sitting there coveting the box of porn?
Well, I do have a lock in my office.
All right.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
See you tonight. There you go. Bye. Dennis Pitzenbarger, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, you know what that guy is? Look, I love Dennis, I really do. But you know what that guy is? He's like Pigpen from Peanuts, except you know how Pigpen has a cloud of dust and dirt around him?
Yeah.
Dennis just has this cloud of, like, noise and disruption. Walks in, he's just like a little chaos element just walking around. All right. All right, we should put all this... I don't even know what this thing is. Oh.
I think you know now.
Oh, this is a, Oh, I know what this is.
A back scratcher?
I'll take that.
Well, depends on what you mean by back, Tim. I think the first word is back. Apparently, it's compact and discreet. Accessories available. Collect them all.
Are they dishwasher safe?
I don't... Oh, really? Really, honestly, that's what it's to relieve? Look at this. Did you see what this device is marketed to relieve?
That's why I tossed it to you, dude.
Oh, it's one of those mm-hmms.
I thought it was a mwah.
No, it's an mm-hmm.
Wrong store.
What about...
Different store. Client alert.
Client alert. This is actually when I talk.
Client alert. All right, I'm going to give this back to you.
There really is nothing I'd like to be doing with that.
Who suffers from this?
You'll suffer if you use it.
Is that in the book of sexual etiquette?
I'll have to look it up. Which chapter might that be?
Can I refer to that so I know which color hanky to use? All right. Here you go. Yes, you have put that up.
Okay, I'm sorry. And just look at this. This is hilarious.
Okay. We have to... All right. Let's go through this later.
I just wanted to show you that one.
I feel all oogie.
Me too.
As Annie Wilkes would say. Thank you to the guys at Taboo for bringing us a big...
Easter basket.
Easter basket of porn. Okay. Hey, let's get a few of these calls, shall we? That'll cleanse the palate. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello. You can just put that basket in the corner.
Nobody put the basket in the corner. I didn't know where to go.
I barely knew her.
Yeah. I'm in the corner. Oh, I'm sorry.
I barely knew her.
All right. Thank you.
I just was going to say, today being the... Or the week, or whatever you want to say, of the Oklahoma bet.
Yes, sir.
The Waco was 1 year to the day before that.
Is that true? So Waco and Oklahoma City were the same day,
one year apart.
Okay,
yes.
All right, okay. So
exactly that.
So it really is a creepy week. Yeah, because Tim McVeigh did that because of Waco, right? That was one of his things. Is that like, well, I'll show everybody, you know, or whatever. So, all right.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. And, you know... I just have to say, for those of you out there who, the conspiracy freaks.
Yes, sir.
Whenever somebody commits a crime.
Oh, God, here we go.
They always add the middle name to the person, Lee Harvey Oswald.
Right.
And such.
What about Jack Ruby? Yeah, in your face.
Did he really do it? Dun-dun-dun. I'm just saying.
Was that
his middle name?
Was that the extent of your observation, sir?
I think that's probably all.
I think it's, in fact, middle names that make you kill people, you know? Like, what's his name? Harvey Lee Lucas or whatever that guy's name was? Yeah, I think maybe it's giving people middle names. I think when you're given a middle name at birth, especially if your first name is two syllables and your middle name is one syllable, you have to either become a serial killer or a country music singer, you know?
Fantastic.
You either become Gary Lee Lucas or you become, Billy Ray.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
And Billy Ray Cyrus. Okay, we're done. Thank you. All right, yeah, Z. Hi, Terry, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. Hey, listen, that nut job Joy, he actually mailed that stuff to NBC Express Mail. It cost him $14.40 to get that there.
Well, he probably
put it the next day.
He probably put it on his credit card.
I don't know, but it cost $14.40 for him to mail it. And also that Happy Face bomber guy, he was putting bombs in mailboxes, and a couple of letter carriers lost their hands.
Really? Is that true? So there was some maiming that happened. Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he was sort of thinking outside the box. That's the only point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, outside the box.
It really is true. He was not just doing the same old kind of bombing or destruction that everybody else does. I'm not saying it was a good thing, but I'm saying, you know, he was already bent on destruction. He was doing it in a way that it at least was a little creative, though. That's all I have to say about that guy.
Yeah, true.
All right. Thank you. All right, there you go. That's Terry. He's sort of like George Metesky. People don't remember who George Metesky is anymore, but George Metesky was a guy who had this vendetta against Con Ed in New York. It stemmed from, like, some bill. It was, like, some $14 bill or something that he felt that he wasn't. It's like that, or, like, they wouldn't pay him back some money he thought they owed him, and so he just bombed a bunch of Con Ed stations for, like, 20 years in New York, all to settle, like, some score over literally, like, by 20 bucks or something. I mean, the George Metesky, the mad bomber in New York. People, you know, people don't have any memory anymore. People forget all about it. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Got a little breaking news here out of Salem.
Oh, God, please tell me this is not somebody.
No, it's actually good. Well, okay. Good news for most civil rights enthusiasts. Oregon's gays and lesbians will gain protection from discrimination under a bill that was approved today. Now it goes to the governor. He'll sign it. This is the domestic partnership thing.
And he will sign it.
He will sign it.
Fantastic. Excellent.
New Hampshire's getting one as well, which is really strange.
It amazes me that Oregon took this long to do it. You would think we would be at the forefront of it.
Well, they had to get rid of some of these Republicans.
Now that that's done, the revolution could begin.
Yes.
And now we can impose San Francisco values on all of the states.
It's going to ruin marriage.
All your marriages will crumble. All your vows are belong to us. All right, here's Tim Riley. What a strange day this is. We're just 6 hours and 15 minutes away from listener party 10, by the way. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Anybody watch American Idol last night? If you did, you found out that Sanjaya Melikar was at the bottom of last night's episode. He was joined by early favorite Lucetia Jones. Idol host Ryan Seacrest, I guess his name, has made the announcement that drew an incredible applause from the studio audience.
After the biggest top 7 vote in Idol history, over 38 million votes, Sanjaya, you are going home tonight.
Who cheers? Who cheers that somebody's dreams have been crushed? Seriously. Listen to that. Can you play that again? No. I don't even care about that show, but that is fantastic. Let's play that one again.
An American dream is crushed.
After the biggest top 7 vote in Idol history, over 38 million votes, Sanjaya, you are going home tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sanjaya is going home.
You are a loser. That's fantastic.
What's more American, really?
Really, that really is.
It really touches a nerve.
We don't like winners. We love losers.
Tugs on a heartstring, doesn't it?
Makes everyone feel just a little bit better.
That is this country in a nutshell right there.
Self-esteem.
Oh, fantastic.
All right, well, there you go.
So there's a little piece of nastiness the other day when Simon Cowell let his eyes roll.
And it appeared to be directed at one of the contestants' statements toward the Virginia Tech victim. So a lot of people think that Simon was, well, giving them the stink eye about this topic.
I just want to absolutely set the record straight. I didn't hear what Chris was saying. I may not be the nicest person in the world, but I would never, ever, ever disrespect those families or those victims.
I don't think he cares about money. Why should he?
I don't really think
he gets to the point where his earnings are, why should you care about anything or anybody?
If I was sorry, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I would use Simon Cowell does not care about anything that doesn't have the initials SC. So
there the car is waiting to whisk him back into the Hollywood Hills.
right back into some sort of a brine-filled egg in which he floats waiting for tomorrow to come. All right, somebody sent me a link to the... Let me see if I can get this to load here. Somebody sent me a link to the smiley face bomber.
I've been looking for that, but I can't find it.
I think this may.
Probably needs a new PR person because I don't see very much on there.
Well, no, this doesn't go anywhere.
See? He's a forgotten person in American history.
Well, that's not right. A smiley face bomber in Wikipedia.
He'll end up on the VH1 reality show.
Whatever happened to that darn smiley face bomber? And then there'll be, Tom Shales or somebody.
Chris Knight.
Totally. Danny Bonaducci will be on there. The thing I love about the smiley face bomber is, why a smiley face? Why not an ampersand? Whatever happened to the ampersand bomber? That's what I want to know. And then they'll, like, you know, number five. And then they'll talk about, like, the Star Wars kid on YouTube. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Calls for ABC to crack down on the views Rosie O'Donnell continue. Bill O'Reilly was referring to O'Donnell as a fanatic leftist for her political opinions. And, of course, then she went on to vilify Tom DeLay, who asked that O'Donnell be suspended. The View co-host Joy Bayer says both men are overreacting.
All we do is talk about the way we feel. And if they can't take to hear what women how women feel, that's too bad. We have to listen to how they feel all the time.
You are not a woman.
Since when are they the arbiters of what we're supposed to say and what we're not supposed to say?
Not a woman.
We say what we say.
You are a fang-bearing succubus. Jesus, God.
Women on the show should not be given rules about what they can say and not say.
We have to conform to FCC standards, and that's it. But in terms of opinions and topics, no. That's what is guaranteed in this country, that we can say whatever we want.
Who? Never mind.
No, we asked
this. Well, Elma to cheer us up a little bit. We've had a tough couple of days here.
We asked this
in the United States.
The Reader's Digest reference?
Yes.
How about some humor in uniform?
Laughter is the best medicine.
It's been nothing but drama in real life all week.
There'll be no comedy on campus for 2Ks.
It's too soon. I just want
too soon.
That's totally too soon. You can't say that. That's a Reader's Digest feature. Thank you.
Too soon.
I didn't even make that connection for a minute.
That's why I was talking about that periodical, which is popular in many places.
I didn't even make the connection, if there was one, which I don't think there was.
How can you go to the dentist's office without reading that?
I remember Reader's Digest, and there were all of those, and they were all the same thing. All of those features. Comedy on campus, humor in uniform, life in these United States. Mm. And wasn't there another one? Laughter is the best medicine.
All like old Bob Hope stories from the 1940s.
Exactly. It's all the same recycled crap, the same recycled jokes over and over and over again. I was just going to say about Joy Behar, like, it's not even about male-female. It's just like who, regardless of whether you're a man or a woman, who likes Joy Behar? Who likes to hear that voice? I can't even imagine.
Well, we won't play it again then.
Thank you. Rick, I could be wrong. Oh, this is a question. Rick, I thought there were two bills being voted on in Oregon, one for domestic partnership and one for adding homosexuality to protected class designation. Which one passed? Were there two or just the one? I think this is just the domestic partnership one, right?
Right. That's because they got rid of the civil union thing.
All right. So
because it had a better chance of passing. It's the same thing, really.
Okay. So they
gave it a different name.
So that's what it is. Yeah. So this is the domestic partnership thing. So that's the one that passed, sir. All right, now people are sending me smiley face. Oh, here we go. Oh, okay, so it's not listed in Wikipedia under smiley face bomber, but under his name, which is...
But nobody knows his name.
No, and they don't have a picture of the map. This is completely... This is pointless. True to his name, he's smiling like a loon in all of his mugshot photos. They've got a picture of him
like Tom DeLay.
They've got a picture of him being thrown down and arrested by the FBI, and he's just got the biggest grin on his face. He's a smiling face bomber in all ways. Oh, and he's from Wisconsin. Let's see. Earned notoriety as the Midwestern pipe bomber, he tried to create a smiley face shape on the U.S. map in the pattern of pipe bombs, driving around in a black Honda Accord. Prior to his bombing spree, that's a phrase I want to have in my Wikipedia entry someday. Someday in my biography, I want to have the phrase, prior to his bombing spree. Prior to his bombing spree, Helder was a member of a local three-piece grunge band named Apathy. Even though the band was only locally successful, they recorded a CD called Sacks Full of People. All right. Sacks Full of People.
S-A-C-K-S?
Yeah. S-A-C-K-S. Yes. Sacks Full of People was the name of this.
Wrong.
All right. Well, let's see. Apparently they found him crazy. They found him crazy, but amusing. All right. This is one of those days where I think we're all crazy, but amusing. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry. It's 1 o'clock already.
Yeah.
Good zombie Jesus. All right. Let's continue.
Sarah, the Duchess of York, is sending her condolences to the victims of Monday's massacre, as well as offering support for the victim, the families, and anyone else who cares to listen.
Please believe, everybody all over the world is so shocked by what happened. We are all out here for you. Although it doesn't seem like much, we are here for you, and we will do anything we can to help you.
All right. Okay. By the way, I'm looking at this this photograph that somebody has sent me. Okay. Somebody has posted a Craigslist ad for our listener party tonight.
Oh.
Which is really, really
awesome.
Disturbing.
Oh.
No, it's really disturbing.
Not good?
Why don't you guys come here and take a look at this? Somebody's posted two of them. Tim, you should come take a look at this.
All right.
So I'll show you one and then I'll show you the other. Somebody has posted two Craigslist ads for our listener party. Okay, here's the first one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a little disturbing. All right. It's just a series of random photographs. I'll forward this to you, sir, so you can post it if you want to. And then, well, no, I'm just saying. And then here's the second one. So there you go. That'll get people out in droves.
Wow.
Just a series of disturbing photos.
Really
highly
of us.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe it was Lars during a commercial break.
He's not busy just stuffing himself full of Fritos. All right. Five, did you ever, you know, and I was talking to somebody about this the other day, that show that Lars does where they just, it's like a TV version of his, and it's done so poorly because half the time they don't even give the audio of the callers, it's just him. And so you can't hear what anybody's asking him, and it's just a lot of fat white man grunting. It's sort of, yeah. And then as he like slurps some water while the caller's making some point about something. All right, here's Tim Riley. We're just going to plunge on ahead bravely today.
The American Civil Liberties Union has filed a federal lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of a curfew law in Lake Oswego. They said it won similar lawsuits in other states. Five students are plaintiffs. One named Paul said it should be a parent's decision whether a minor can be out at night, and the ordinance overlaps laws and give police the tools they need, like they need along Lake Oswego to round up these kids. We're targeting them because they're young, says student Anna Piazza. None of the students at the news conference. Oh, they held a news conference because their parents want them home. They said they've been detained for curfew violations. And some had not.
Who's complaining about this?
The children of Lake Oswego.
Well, screw the children of
Lake
Oswego.
They should be home polishing their parents' silver.
I was just going to say, shouldn't you be home just going to sleep on a pile of $100 bills in front of a massive plasma screen? Shouldn't you be home just figuring out how to oppress people? All right, we've got this. Rick, maybe Dennis needs the porn because one cow just isn't enough for him. That's not me saying that. That's an email. Dennis Pitzenbarger.
He just showed me a picture of his wife's ring.
That he bought her after calling her cow?
Yeah, and I can't remember the message that she wrote. It's like, thanks for the ring, honey, even though you called, you know, something about a cow.
Is it huge?
It's enormous.
Yeah.
I don't know how she bends her knuckle.
It's 503-733-2970. I have no idea what's going on today. It's 1 o'clock already.
No.
Good
what?
Gravy, it is. It's 1 o'clock.
It's 1 o'clock.
We didn't really just do that.
Yeah.
Okay. 6 hours until listener party 10. Let's do a couple more, and then we'll take a break. Let's do two more. We'll break. We'll come back. Ed McCarthy around the corner, and we'll do more news. Plus, we'll have somebody special joining us on the show here in just a while. Then later on, we have a top five. We'll look for the worst story ever. Blah, blah, blah. Here's Tim Riley.
A crash.
as Portland's Interstate Avenue this morning. TriMet says their yellow line was halted, though Max was not involved in the wreck. Shuttle buses were carrying Max passengers between four stations from Killingsworth to the Rose Quarter. A Woodland, Washington woman who used to be a police officer, arrested following a two-car crash, registered a .47 blood alcohol content on a breath test.
That's not possible.
Yeah, it's six times the legal intoxication and a state record. Congratulations, Tina Jarrett.
Well done. .47?
Mm-hmm. She was described as combative and held with soft restraints.
No, really? Held with soft.
She also goes by the name Dina Karst for some reason when she's not a policewoman.
Held with soft, plush, furry, leopard-spotted restraints. The kind of in that porn bag over there.
Someone who is an alcoholic will tolerate a higher blood alcohol content level. Not that we're trying to call her names. And someone who is not an alcoholic, they could die between 0.4 and 0.5. But she's only 5'5".
Well, let's see. Well, that's a good segue to this.
I read that. I was going to buy it. But...
A boozing Katie Couric. This is from the Inquirer, by the way. A boozing Katie Couric suffered a meltdown after going on a sobbing rampage. She's secretly in a serious relationship with a hunk 17 years younger. And she's told pals, from the Inquirer, that going to CBS... was a big mistake. These are just some of the amazing secrets the Inquirer has uncovered about the former Today star in the most revealing and detailed account of her off-screen life ever published. In startling contrast to her perky image, Katie secretly took antidepressants to battle depression, and she suffers severe mood swings. The intense scrutiny she's been under since taking over the CBS Evening News has caused her to frequently lash out at coworkers who have a secret bet about who will be the next target of her wrath.
Stop making me do news.
While she's struggling to get the CBS Evening News out of the basement, ratings-wise, 50-year-old Katie has fallen deeply in love with Brooks Perlin, a 33-year-old financial analyst who's a former triathlete. Only a woman would be embarrassed of this. I've got a secret lover 17 years younger than I am. Oh, the shame. She's kept the relationship hidden for 6 months, but the Inquirer finds all, including their secret vacations and Katie's blisters. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm... No, I'm sorry. Katie's...
Blisters.
Blister.
I barely knew her.
No, Katie's blistering jealousy. I'm sorry. Katie's blistering jealousy. Despite her prim and proper image, Katie has left friends red-faced with steamy descriptions of her lusty nights with Brooks. Katie loves to describe all the sex that they're having. Imagine a more horrifying statement. Katie Couric loves to describe all the sex they're having. She keeps asking people if they think Brooks looks older than he really is. Katie also continues to see other men. Let's see. She lets him... Oh, okay, here we go. She and this guy have also traveled together, taking a trip to Mexico and then to a Super Bowl in Miami. It was a scene involving Brooks in Miami that triggered Katie's boozy meltdown and emotional collapse. We're going to call the next listener party Katie's boozy meltdown. Katie made sure that Brooks had at least one seat away from her during the Super Bowl because she didn't want them to be photographed together. And there was an incident, see page 37. What is the incident? I have to know. There was an incident after the Super Bowl, blah, 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 blah. Katie had been boozing, and she took a limo back to the Lowe's Miami Beach Hotel where she was staying. But when she got up to her floor, she was a mess. She was crying so hard, mascara was streaming down her face. She was banging on the door, demanding to be let in. Oh, I think that's the... I think we peaked. I don't think there's anything else there.
It was the maid's broom closet.
Okay.
It's got to get worse.
Yeah. All she enjoys doing is reading how the show's ratings are falling since her move to CBS.
I love it, she said.
That's what puts a smile on her face. All right. She does have, you know, and I know I've made this reference already once this week, but you know what Katie Couric, and they have these photographs of her at the bottom. You know what she looks like in this? She also looks like Reese Witherspoon as Tracy Flick in Election. Just a perma-glued grin on her face.
The one in the bottom in the middle?
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's got a big Cruella de Vil grin. How you doing? I'm fine. Just a big smile. Katie, you worried about the show imploding? No, everything's great.
Which way to the Botox party?
When she's not busy collapsing and booze, is having a boozy collapse and an emotional meltdown. Well, let's take one call and then we'll break and come back with more news from Tim Riley and Ed McCarthy as well. John, hello, sir.
Hey, man, I got a perfect guest for your mystery guest tonight.
Now, is this your prediction?
This is my prediction. It's got to be. How could you top Brooke Burke being the MC?
Why would you suggest that? I mean, what is going on in your head to lead to this call?
I'm not really sure, but all of a sudden I could just picture Brooke Burke standing up there with her junk almost hanging out of her dress going, and tonight we gather here at Barracuda to celebrate Emerson History X.
That is pretty funny. That's pretty good Brooke Burke, actually. You have a little too much spark, though.
Rick, you take the cake for doing the Brooke Burke impression. You do it so well.
I don't even remember how to do it anymore.
And now, I can't remember how you did it. You just suspected.
What would she say? Give me something she would say.
Last night,
we received a record number of votes. After the numbers were tallied, some shocking things were revealed.
Or whatever, I guess. I guess I threw that impression out of my mental folder as soon as that show
went
up.
I don't know
here.
Where that came from, but, you know, it just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. I had to throw it out for you.
Thank you, sir.
See you tonight. Bye.
503-733-2970. Do we have to break here?
We're so late.
It's the 8th. Well, we have McCarthy at 110, but... Hey, Scotty. You tell McCarthy it's going to be a couple minutes, because we're about 6 minutes ahead of when we're supposed to have him. So just let him know it's going to be. We'll get him right out of the break. Thank you. All right, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970.
Come and see the new look of Mall 205. Oh, it's not the mall you remember.
503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's just trying to keep you on your toes. Rick at...
You're a jerk.
Thank you.
Rick at rickemerson.com. We are just, 5 hours and something, 48 minutes away from Listener Party 10 happening tonight, 7 p.m., Barracuda. So we got the more coming up about that later on today, top five, all of that. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the South. Gentleman reporter and man of the world, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing good, Rick, as good as can be expected. In Blacksburg, Virginia, which is without a doubt the saddest story in the history of the nation here with all of the what's going on.
It's certainly one of the weirdest, too. It's one of those things where every time you think the final shoe has dropped, it just gets stranger and stranger. So, of course, there was the first horrific report to this, and then we found out that it was one shooting, then we found out that it was two separate incidents, and then we found out that there were so many wounded and so many dead. And then just when people started kind of wrap their brains around that, then we found out that this nutcase sends off all of these all these messages. And this was in the regular mail. I guess I, for some reason, had thought that he had done this via the internet or something, but he just filmed this and then dropped it into a bag and sent it off to CNN to NBC? Is that the deal?
Yeah, apparently this is between the first shootings took place at the dorm, two people dead, and then there was, you know, a two-hour lapse. And in between that time, whether or not he did more of his amateur photography or not, he went to the post office between the first stop where he killed the two people and to the engineering building where he killed 30 people. Plus himself. And mailed it out. And, I don't know whether it was overnight or what, but NBC got it yesterday. And, of course, they've been getting some criticism for airing it, but, you know, I've got to be honest with you. I think any one of these media outlets that got it, I mean, would probably run it, don't you think?
Oh, how can you not? It is certainly the biggest story of the year, maybe of the decade. It's certainly the biggest type of crime, biggest crime of this type that's ever happened. So, I mean, anybody to see this sort of false sense of moral outrage about it, it is, if nothing else... I mean, at the absolute minimum, regardless of what anybody else wants to say about it, at the very absolute base of this, it is evidence in a crime. So for that reason alone, it's something that I don't have any problem with anybody showing. I mean, it is evidence in an ongoing investigation. So
it certainly is. I'll tell you, that professor that said he was just outright mean, she really hit it on the head, because when you look at this thing, it looks, number one, it looks very terroristic. Number two, obviously through his anger and his mannerisms, you can see that he either is mentally disturbed or angry.
He just looks flat out crazy to me. I mean, I'm no shrink, but he just looks flat out nuts to me.
I mean, as a shrink, you always help me out.
Well, that's what I'm just sort of I sideline of that. And again, and I don't know, and I don't want to be another guy, I guess, although I am sort of making snap judgment. I'm saying my gut sense is that he just seems like a guy who was maybe was on a long downward slide mentally and then just reached some sort of break point. And then, you know, and there was just no coming back from that. And I mean, he's had a certain amount of competence, obviously, because he was able to pull this off. But you look at that, and he just does seem like a guy who just mentally has just vanished. I mean, there's just nothing left there.
The parents who were in seclusion in Centerville, Virginia, had known that he had some issues before. And it was quite obvious, it was documented that he had some mental problems, and he was actually given treatment. And that's also one of my big questions is if the state of Virginia signed off on this and a magistrate signed this and all, I mean, wouldn't that be something that would be somewhere in a database? And how could he buy a gun?
That is sort of interesting. And he bought one gun and somehow came into possession of like five more. So
another one was shipped, I guess, to a pawn shop.
I have this. Let's see if I have this. If I have this article here, and I guess I don't. Oh wait, here we go. This is somebody sent this to us. I'm going to say make sure that I can. This is actually from CNN.com. I'm reading this now. This is from his great aunt. And I swear to God, this is from CNN.com, and it says...
Yeah, she said he was autistic, right?
And not just that, she just called him. I swear to God, this is what the aunt said. She said, who would have known he would cause such trouble? That idiot. So she said that he was very cold, very troubled, and she said that he had been diagnosed with autism. And I don't know anything about autism, so I don't know if that manifests itself like this before. I mean, I guess this is all stuff that we'll figure out in the future. But for now, does it look? Although I guess there's no way to really know. Does it look like at the very least, the surprises have quit coming for now?
Boy, I sure hope so. I mean, yesterday, all of a sudden, the SWAT teams are pulling up in front of the building next to where they had the shooting, and it was a very cruel hoax that was perpetrated, and it turned out to be a false alarm, which was at least a good thing. We were happy about that. But a lot of the students have stayed here. They've decided that they want to kind of unite, solidarity type thing. Many have gone home, however, and of course today they were told that they'd be able to handle the semester any way they want. If they want to bail out the semester and start over again later, they can do that. They're going to also give degrees posthumously for the students who were killed in this massacre, which I think is a very nice gesture.
Absolutely. All right, Ed McCarthy, my friend, as best you can, kind of, I guess you sort of, keep your head up. It's got to be a grim scene and a grim vibe around there. And
That's the thing, the vibe. You really hit it on the head because it's just a very somber deal all the way around here. Everybody you talk to, I mean, it's just everybody just feels horrible here. And it's not going to get any better for a long time, I've got to say.
All right. Ed McCarthy, we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
You bet, Rick. Thank you.
Take care. Ed McCarthy in Virginia, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. We'll do a few more news stories here. We'll go to the Ministry of Truth. We'll do a few more news stories. We'll probably take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll bring somebody onto the show with us here on the other side of the break. Cool. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley has some news for us here.
Should I play the intro?
I was unclear about whether to play the intro.
I don't know.
Hoping we blur the lines there and just sort of slide into the news.
No, because
casually.
Then all of a sudden there's silence and then you yell at me like, oh, somebody's not running a tight board.
No one's going to get yelled at here.
I would never make fun, Sarah. You know that I...
Come and see the new look of Mall 205. Oh, it's not the mall you remember.
Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Authorities have put all 36 schools in 13 Northern California school districts under lockdown today. And they're looking for a man who wants to make Virginia Tech look mild. This is Yuba City, California. And you may remember it back in the 70s when Juan Corona murdered 25 people there. They're all farm workers. That was Yuba City. That was a big mass murder back then. That's the last time Yuba City's been in the news. But apparently they're looking for a transient today who telephoned his pastor and his family members to say he had an automatic weapon, improvised explosive devices, and even poison. And then some middle school kid in Portland got the cops called on him after he arrived at school with a hit list, which isn't a very bright thing to do. Oh, isn't there any good news? Yes, there is. Let's talk about the Scrabble competition. It involves several local youngsters. They're competing in the fifth
National School Scrabble Championship in Providence, Rhode Island next month. The girls, Danielle Lavoie and Lauren McIver of the Westbridge Elementary School in Lake Oswego, where all the smart kids come from, are in sixth grade, and the boys, Trevor Swope and Quentin Sarabin Hess of Winter Haven Elementary, are fifth graders. There'll be 200 students from 23 states playing six games of Scrabble, with a chance to win the grand prize of $5,000.
Scrabble people are crazy.
I like Scrabble.
I'm not. Okay. Let's all calm down. I don't know.
Use your words wisely, Rick.
And he just started punching people.
I have won Scrabble competitions before.
Is that true?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever gone to a Scrabble?
Not professionally.
I was going to say, have you ever gone to a Scrabble tournament?
No.
All right. So when you say a Scrabble competition, basically there was just
like a summer camp.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Have you seen that documentary?
No, I have not.
Oh, come on. That's crazy.
Are you calling me crazy?
Best week ever. I don't know. He seemed like such a calm newsman most of the time. He kind of kept to himself. He did talk a lot about hating people, though.
But they allowed him to run loose from 1998 to the present time.
He had a key card that allowed him access to any room in the building, though. That was really the mistake in retrospect. No, let's all get a hold of ourselves. I'm not calling you crazy.
All right.
Let's be very clear about that. I'm not provoking anybody. There are three documentaries, and I'm getting them all confused in my head. There is the Spelling Bee documentary, mm-hmm. and that's Spellbound.
Yes.
There is a Scrabble documentary called Word Freak, I think.
Oh.
And then there's a crossword puzzle
that's
documentary called Word Wars, I think. Word Freak, and I'm pretty sure that's the spelling of the Scrabble documentary, is fascinating. I mean, it is... The Scrabble people, I mean, and these people who are like hardcore, like they interview people who literally make their living playing Scrabble. They play Scrabble for a living and they win money in Scrabble tournaments and that's their sole job and they are all complete freaks. I mean, all of them. They are nuts beyond all comprehension. And they're just all they're like people I know or knew growing up who were like real chess fanatics who are just, they don't bathe and they just, one guy, his sole outfit seems to consist of like a bad stained white t-shirt and some pants that are about four sizes too big and some suspenders. And that's it. And that's pretty much all he wears everywhere. His diet consists of packs of Kraft cheese singles and milk of my magnesia. That's it. Hey, what is magnesia? Is magnesia an actual thing? How do you get milk from magnesia? I don't even know what magnesia is. Magnesia sounds like a metal, doesn't it?
It does. It seems to work, though.
How would you get milk out of a metal? This is made out of 100% pure magnesia, this skyscraper.
Milk a magnesium cow.
Where are those magnesium cows at,
magnesia.
Mom? Okay. Anywho, let's do one more here, and then we'll do something else.
A rapper named Cameron, who spells his name with an apostrophe in the middle, is apparently no friend to law enforcement. In an interview with 60 Minutes, Anderson Cooper, who moonlights at CBS now, by the way.
Cooper?
I barely knew her.
Cameron said he would never help police in any way, even if he knew that a killer lived next door.
No, I wouldn't call and tell anybody on him, but I'd probably move.
Oh,
I'm going to call and be like, you know, the serial killer's in 4E.
Because he doesn't want to be helping the man.
He said there is no situation where he would help the police.
Is there any situation where you think it's okay to talk to the police?
Yeah, definitely. Say hello, how you feel, everything all right, period.
He's edgy.
There's not really to talk about with the police. I mean...
Oh, I hope he gets burglarized tonight. I hope someone steals everything he owns and then sets fire to his house.
We'll find out.
Oh, that would make me so happy. Oh,
this isn't broadcast till Sunday.
Instant karma. All right. Let's see. Oh, it's wordplay, I think, this email says. Rick. This one says, Rick, do you have any other embarrassing Sarah Sounders? I'd love to hear more. This one's hilarious, but I'd love to hear others.
No, that was the only one you got off, right?
Well, I have the cassette. I just don't have any means to play it right now.
That's too bad.
I could have Scotty go in a production room and do it, though. Wordplay is about Scrabble. All right, 503-733-2970. Dan in New Zealand. Hello, sir.
Hi, Rick. I'm just calling to apologize for not coming to the listening party.
I was holding it against you. I was never going to speak to you again.
Oh, well, that's a pity.
Yeah.
I am like 7,000 miles away.
Well, you know, we've all got our problems, friend. We've all got challenges to overcome.
Yeah,
you know,
I'd just like to give a shout out to Matt and Andy. Who will be at the listener party?
Your peeps. You will be able to experience it virtually. There will be a large section of photographs, probably video of some kind taken, and it will be, we'll be kind of describing it blow by blow tomorrow. So it's not the same thing as being there, but yeah. you'll be able to live a little bit vicariously through our discussion of it tomorrow.
I will start drinking as soon as I get home.
What time is it in New Zealand, sir?
It is 8:23 a.m.
It is 8:23 a.m. Friday?
Yep.
All right, so where you're at, the listener party has already happened. Was it a success?
Yeah, pretty much.
Was it great?
I did drink, so it must have been great.
It's all very confusing. That was a little bit of intellectual humor that didn't quite come off.
Is a big sheep farm, isn't it?
One more thing. Will the video play this time properly?
Oh, why do you got to do that? Why? Damn you. We're done. Done with your call. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Rick.
Thank you. Will the video play this time? Curse you, Dan in New Zealand. All right, one more and then we're breaking. That's a cruel thing to say. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
So, having in-laws who are both in the medical profession, I can tell you that the milk of magnesia, the magnesia stands for magnesium.
Uh-huh.
And that, along with a couple of other things, like citrate of magnesium, or just magnesium pills that you can go pick up at your local vitamin store, they will all help you to have one hellacious bowel movement.
That's what we're calling the next listener party. One hellacious bowel movement. Of illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Exactly. Right.
Thank you. Thanks so much. All right. Let's take a break, shall we? It's 503-733-2970. 503. Did you see that one thing in the porn basket is to relieve anal tension?
Yeah, I did.
Who suffers?
Did you put that back in there?
In where? Yeah, don't I look relaxed? Bam! Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Sorry, my headphone cord is stuck in the microphone. 503-733-2970. By the way, we'd like to take this opportunity. We'll bring in a special guest here in just a moment, who may or may not be the mystery guest. Oh, very perplexing. We'll bring in a special guest here in a moment. We'll continue our hunt for the worst story ever. Tim Riley returns at 2 o'clock. We are now 5 hours and 23 minutes away from Listener Party 10 happening tonight. Barracuda, no cover, no minimum, anything. Just be there. And, of course, we strongly encourage all of our female listeners to find a schoolgirl outfit somewhere. And you can be... This is either really hot or really weird or probably a combination of both. We have that one woman who listens to us, Maria, who actually came in her own daughter's schoolgirl outfit. Maria is, I don't know, 30-something, I guess.
Oh, yes, I remember her.
And she has, like...
She's Ren.
Just so weird and hot and wrong. She has an actual daughter who wears, like, the full-on, like, Catholic schoolgirl outfit. And she's like, and so when my daughter was asleep, I just went into her room and took it and put it on, and that's what I wore. So, there you go. We're going to take a moment to give a shout-out to... What is this guy's name? Let's see. This is forwarded to me by Jeff McGinley, who is the chief engineer for AM 970, and who is one of the chief nerds here at CBS Radio. I don't want to sit and dwell on the Virginia Tech thing, but I am going to say this. We're going to give a shout-out to Kevin Stern. Kevin Stern, who is the chief engineer at WUVT. He is the chief engineer for radio station WUVT-FM, which is the radio station at Virginia Tech. And, of course, we, the radio people have, there's a special closeness to our heart, and we love engineers. And this was sort of circulating within the radio engineer geek community. This is on some sort of message board or bulletin board. But anyway, Jeff gave this to me. Radio engineer Kevin Stern, who is the chief engineer at WUVT radio station FM at Virginia Tech. He was one of the guys shot by this idiot the other day, and I'm not going to read the whole thing except to say this. Doctors said that Stern, age 22, devised a tourniquet from an electrical cord in his engineering shop after a bullet tore an inch-long gash through his femoral artery of his right leg. So this idiot show comes in, starts shooting, unloads on this guy, severs a femoral artery, and because he's a radio engineer, he's got a big-ass box of cables right there. What does he do? Reaches into the box, grabs a cable from his pile of radio stuff, bam, tourniquets up the leg, saves his life. Now, this is the punchline. The punchline to this is that the radio station was in the, because it's a college radio station, And I'm trying to piece together, I got like three different emails about this guy that are circulating inside CBS Radio. They apparently have been doing a radiothon fundraiser. This at WUVTFM, which again was the college radio station of Virginia Tech. They were doing a radiothon fundraiser to raise money for the radio station and apparently for a local children's charity. So this guy gets shot by the gunman. He grabs a box of radio cables, fishes one out, ties off his own leg, saves his life, comes out of surgery, grabs his girlfriend's hand. His first phrase, the first words out of his mouth are, "I love you." The second sentence out of his mouth, he asked what the radiothon fundraiser total was at that point. So there you go. God bless you, sir. Kevin Stern saves his life with some radio cables, and then his second question is about the radiothon fundraising total. Kevin Stern, the Rick Emerson Show salute you. You are my new hero, sir. You are my new god. Rick, ask Sarah if Raul will be attending the listener party tonight. Can you imagine thousands of jealous, glaring eyes mentally strangling his fragile little neck? I can. See you tonight, says Ryan. There you go. Is your quasi-boyfriend going to be there tonight?
He is going to be there.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's coming with some of my friends.
Is he at all unnerved about it?
I don't know, because because we were friends before we started dating, and he actually came to Lycus's party.
Right.
With a couple of my friends. So he's, like, seen, I don't know, I don't think he's ever been to an actual listener party. He's just seen me on stage up there.
It can be a little unnerving. All right.
Well, you know, I'm a little nervous.
I wouldn't worry about it if I were you. What could go wrong? Sarah, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
First of all, I just wanted to thank you for turning me on to The Shield.
Oh, not at all. It's what I do.
I love it. It's one of my favorite TV shows
Excellent.
Right now.
Excellent. Thank you.
And second, I just wanted to take this opportunity to wish you and your listeners a great, great time tonight. Played hard, played safe.
Now, where were you? Now, where are you at?
At my home.
I mean, do you live in Portland? Will you be attending?
No, sir. I'm the one from Puerto Rico.
Okay.
So, wait, now,
it's
are you...
quite the long drive for me.
That's what I was asking, if you were in Portland now or if you were... Okay, so that would... Okay, I guess we'll give you a pass for that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Sarah, I'm glad you're digging The Shield, and you'll be there with us in spirit, Sarah.
Definitely. Have a great time.
All right, thank you. That's Sarah in Puerto Rico, my heart's devotion. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Scotty, if you can please now come to the studio and welcome with
Scotty you. Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Why, hello, Scotty. How are you today?
Doing great, Rick. How are you?
Oh, Scotty. Thanks for moving my car again, Scotty.
I can hear the nerves in your voice.
Isn't it a parking spot now?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Okay, good. Then that's the last time.
Hey, out on Scotty Street.
Are you feeling okay?
Feeling completely hung.
Feeling good about the night. Are you hungover?
You went out and got drunk last night?
Are you kidding me? Yes.
Scotty, Scotty, it was a school night. You should know better than to treat your body like that.
I put myself to bed at 12:30 last night.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, your body is a temple, Scotty.
It is.
You can't mistreat it.
A lot of people say that my body's a temple.
Stop that. All right.
That's creepy.
All right, Scotty. Okay, well, hang around for a second. Don't go anywhere. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show a longtime friend of the program. Thanks for leaving, sir. We don't need any headphones or anything. Don't worry about us, Scotty. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Look, he's on it.
Thank you. All right, Scotty. I'm sorry. Sorry I maligned you just now. I hear myself. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend, The Low. Hello, sir. How you doing?
How's it going, man?
You're in town from Las Vegas.
Yes, sir.
Now, please stroke our egos and tell us it's just for us. I don't even care if it's true.
Actually, it is true.
Really?
I made the trip just for you guys.
Oh,
I figured if there was any point in time when I was going to come back up here to party with the faithful, it would have to be the 10th anniversary.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Excellent. So that is it. So Carol is coming all the way from Tucson. You're here from Las Vegas. I think somebody said, I don't know if this is true or not, we had, and this is years ago in La Center, we had that couple that came up from Tahoe, which I guess is on the Nevada-California border, right? Is that Tahoe? Is Tahoe on the border?
You know, I wouldn't know.
All right, well, I'm just somewhere. Wherever
Tahoe
is. Only
because all I do there is I work and I go home and I listen to the show and I sleep and then I work.
Fantastic. God bless you.
Oh.
You're a P1 for your core. Well, wherever Tahoe is, They came to see us from Tahoe a while back. So they claim that they're going to come back at some point. So they may or may not be here tonight. So excellent. Fantastic. Well, how's life in Vegas? Here's the thing. Is it like living in New York where you never go to the Statue of Liberty? If you live in Vegas, you just stay as far away from casinos and the Strip as you could possibly.
Yeah, there's like an invisible barrier. We don't even see the Strip. It's like a black hole. There's no light coming out of that area.
It's like the inverse of what it looks like to us. You can't even see it. It's just gone.
Yeah, there's just nothing there. You drive by. Don't see it.
Now we played the new version of Radio Gangster at the top of the program. We'll play that here in just a short while. Although I do have something. I wasn't prepared either. I wasn't prepared with this. We were gonna welcome you to this.
Traffic. All right, I'm a little nervous, but here's my rap.
Now, what I meant to ask you.
But you're gonna have a good drive today. There ain't no.
What I meant to ask. I'm gonna bleep that. It sounded like profanity. There.
No.
He said it.
There was an effing. All right.
No.
I meant to ask you this, though.
Crazy man.
I meant to ask you whether you were more horrified by the rapping traffic girl or by MC Karl Rove.
Oh, man.
Because I know that either of those was just pounding rusty nails into your soul.
It's an equal death. There's no difference, man. Both of those things just make me cringe. I don't know. They make a good case for me to just retire and never write another rhyme again.
Seriously. If you're competing with Karl Rove, really, the game is over. He's really won. There's really no way that any of us can measure up.
You know, if I can lose an MC battle to MC Rove, I should have never began in the first place.
Fantastic. Rick, let's see. As a Brit new to Portland, I'm interested to know if either you or Sarah know of any other places, that are great to shop at. I'm looking for somewhere on the east side of town, Sarah, preferably close to I-205 and with a new look. It'd be fantastic if there's a store there where I can shop for some quality jewelry and high-class clothing for my wife and maybe a skateboard for my teenage son. I'm looking forward to your recommendation, Sarah. Where would you recommend that I shop at? Sarah, do you have any thoughts about that?
I hate you. Come and see the new look of Mall 205. It's not the mall you remember, because Mall 205 has undergone a complete renovation, giving you a whole new shopping experience. While Mall 205 has added exciting stores like...
Why?
I want to
hear you pimp the food court.
Wonderful, unique stores you can't find at every other mall.
Have you warned yourself about
shopping? Mall 205 has a wide variety of stores you'll love, such as famous footwear, Harry Ritchie Jewelers,
and the dress.
If you
spent your life for...
If you're shopping for teens, you'll find great skateboarding gear from Fuel, or hot trends from Casual Choice. Or for the younger ones, shop at the Learning Palace and discover award-winning toys games. And when all your shopping makes you hungry, Mall 205's new food court has a variety of flavors from around the world. So come and see the new look of Mall 205, where you'll find a whole new shopping experience. That's Mall 205 off I-205 in Southeast Washington.
You're doing that broadcasting school thing, too, where you're smiling. Oh. I can tell that you're smiling
I just learned how to do that.
I have one question.
Yeah.
You're a jerk.
Where specifically around the world are those flavors from?
The food court.
You know, I've been past the food court actually because I was walking from Target to Home Depot. And it's just like one place.
Yeah, of course it is. Fantastic. All right. Those food courts, and I'm not just talking about that, but there's really food courts everywhere. It's like my whole theory about gas. When you go to the gas station and there's the regular, the 87 octane and then the high grade and then whatever, there's one big tank. One big tank underneath the ground, all the gas that comes out. So it is at the food court. Down in the basement of the mall, the food court, there's just one big cauldron of goulash. And there's a guy with a ladle. And it's just, there's a one big conveyor belt going up. And it's just, the only thing that's different is like the color of the vegetable that he puts on the side. All the rest of it is the same.
All I can see is the Sbarro sign.
Totally. All right.
Is that the only commercial you got, so I don't have to prepare for anything
well,
else?
Well, here's the thing, is that I really do honestly mean this. I don't have anything else from you because it's on cassette. I was so burnt last night. That's why I spent all of that time creating the show opening where it sounds like you're Jenny, the rapping traffic girl, which just seemed like the height of brilliance to me at about 11:30 last night. I was giggling maniacally to myself as I'm editing it together. So I don't really have anything else. All I have is the cassette from you. So I will dig through that as the day goes on. Maybe I'll have Scotty go to one of the production rooms. Let's see. What else do we have here? Rick. Yesterday, I called to find out the address of Barracuda. Scotty had no clue what the address for Barracuda was. Thanks, Scotty. I then started to talk to him about the pirate restaurant and the fact that they have a vegan menu. And Scotty went on and on about it. I know how much you love pirates. Did you know that Scotty is a pirate person? Blah, 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 blah.
A pirate person?
I don't know. I think he's one of those people that dresses up like a Ren Faire thing and he goes to the pirate place.
Scotty goes to Ren Faire's?
Probably. Let's see, Rick. About a nutria. I wouldn't put it past you to have a nutria at the listener party. You did, after all, have Sarah dancing with a placenta at the last one.
I wasn't dancing with a placenta.
It wasn't. It was trying to avoid...
what type of dance were you doing? Was it like a tango?
It was a don't let that blood get on my shoes kind of a dance. Oh, you weren't there. That's right.
No, I missed that.
Last year, last April at Sabala's, I almost said it's Sabaro's, and Sabala's, we did a listener party night, and there was this guy, Jesse, who, and I don't even remember how these things happened. It's because Tom Cruise had said something about how when Katie Holmes had his baby, he was going to eat the placenta. And we just latched right onto that. I mean, it was just a story that just screamed us. And so we started talking about placentas, and we started talking about the fact that there is this sort of subculture, especially, strangely enough, in the vegan community, a small section of the vegan community where they will eat placenta because apparently it's like the only meat that they'll eat, and it's full of whatever, and it's a bunch of hippie trippy, let me consume your aura.
Just thinking of the placenta as meat is disturbing enough for me.
There's a big box of placenta. To help her to go with that. And anyway, this guy calls up and he's like, well, I saved my placenta from when my child was born, and I was going to do something spiritual and symbolic with it, but instead I will bring it to the listener party. And so he brought it there in a biohazard bag, in a yellow and red goddamn biohazard bag. And we'd sort of forgotten about it until we were standing up on stage and we see this guy working his way through the crowd holding a yellow bag aloft in the air. And he comes up
with
and
the biohazard?
With the biohazard sign to the front.
That would be me running for the exit.
It was so gross.
The biohazard sign, which is designed... I mean, and the biohazard symbol is scary looking. It's like a John Bonham symbol, but with spikes on it. The biohazard symbol is designed to tell you not to touch something. It's like a stay away. Don't touch it. Don't breathe in.
I'm real good at staying away. I excel at not touching.
The only other time I ever see a biohazard symbol is if, like, you're at the doctor's office or something, and it's that big thing they put used needles into.
Oh, they have one of those at the airport.
Really?
Yeah, you go to the bathroom at the airport, they have the used needle biohazard box on the wall there. Like, first of all, how do you get through security at the airport with needles? And not only dirty needles that you need to deposit in the airport bathroom.
And I love the idea that they have to tell people not to jam their hand into a box of dirty needles.
Yeah.
Like you're going to be rooting around for Kleenex and you think maybe there's some at the bottom of that. So this guy approaches the stage and he hands us the placenta. And there's a couple really disturbing things about it. One is that it had sort of a... It's not a real heft to it.
It was a bit more girthy than we expected.
Indeed, it was like holding a bag. It was like holding a bag full of frozen stew.
That's good. Oh, my stomach's not going to make it through that, man. I'm pulling a Scotty J today, trying to fight through a.
And so Sarah and I.
Lo's so hungover right now.
Are you hungover?
He's struggling. Come on. I can't believe you did that the night before you came here.
I knew better, but, you know, sometimes that stop sign just doesn't appear when it should.
What is it with you and Scotty? The people are just, I don't know. Well, I know I've got to be bright tomorrow.
I got to town and one of my favorite underground hip-hop DJs was spinning last night, and I found out right when I got to town.
Right.
So, of course, I go down and commence to downing beer and then vodka cranberry after vodka cranberry.
Yeah. Fantastic. Anyways, to finish the story, so the guy hands us the placenta, and it's sort of like a... Again, it's just sort of a bag full of half melted ice. Just sort of a sloshing kind of weight to it. And then the worst part is that Sarah and I are just sort of talking about it, and then we feel like the unmistakable sensation of something spattery dripping onto our shoes. And we look down, and it's just leaking all over the stage. I don't even remember what we did with it at that point. I think we threw it back into the crowd.
That would have been the end of my listener party experience. Yeah.
It was so wrong.
It was fantastic. My
night was over at that point. Where's Logo? Yeah, he's done it for the night.
You lost me at placenta. Oh, God damn. All right, John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how are you doing?
What's up?
I've just had this idea. take that commercial that Sarah just did, that voiceover.
Right.
I mean, is it possible to get this done in time for the party? You know, we could do a montage, you know, of different Sarah photographs, you know, and maybe some of the fashion ones where she's dressed up and stuff, and just kind of have this Photoshop or whatever you call that over this mall commercial. And somehow could we slip in that bondage picture that was on the screen yesterday?
That was not me, sir.
I like the way you think.
I know it wasn't you. I saw it. I went and looked for it myself, and I had to agree that it looked an awful lot like you if you had a gag in your mouth. I know it's not you. And that's the thing is, we all at the party would know that it's not Sarah.
What a disturbing phrase. This looks a lot like you if you had a gag in your mouth.
At what point did you determine that that's what you need to consider about Sarah?
And
let's
how would
think
you
about
know
this with a gag?
And,
well, do you take pictures of Sarah and like pencil in like the mustache pencil in a ball gag?
That's what I was going to say. What is your frame of reference for that exactly?
Well, is there a possibility we could maybe do a short video homage to all things Sarah, and that might get in tomorrow?
So basically
tonight.
So you
tonight? Oh, that's right, tonight. Yes, thank you.
So basically, you didn't have this idea until the ball gag picture surfaced. So really what you're basically asking is there some sort of a sandwich into which we can slip the roofie of the ball gag picture?
Sarah,
well, I saw the picture last night.
What's wrong with you guys?
I saw the picture last night, and I thought it was wonderful. And then with this Sarah...
It was wonderful.
Oh, well.
It got me through a long, hard evening.
Of course I knew that it wasn't Sarah.
You're really overjustifying it.
It does look a lot like me, so much so it's embarrassing to show people because it really does look like me.
Well, Rick, but the thing is that we know that it's not Sarah because she would never deny that it was her.
So you mean if she had done it, she would admit it?
She would never deny doing.
All right. Well, all right. I just love the phrase, you know, it doesn't look like her with a ball gang. And it's like, that's like that thing I was saying earlier, that I want that in my Wikipedia entry, the arrested after a bombing spree. All right. Thank you, John. Well, we'll look into it. All right. He was really, he was selling past the clothes there when he kept saying that, of course, I never need
to see that picture again. That was enough for me.
Well, I wouldn't get too attached to the notion.
I would like to see it.
Yeah.
Have you not seen it?
I haven't seen it, but hey, I've been in transit all day.
Let me help you out, sir.
Thanks to the lovely TriMet website, which doesn't tell you that all of the bus stops downtown have been removed and replaced with temporary bus stops, which no longer contain the route that I needed. Thanks, TriMet.
All right, here's...
See where it takes you.
here's the photo of a girl who looks...
Oh, good God.
Okay. Now, admit that the casual observer, that looks a little bit like Sarah.
Yeah, I would actually have to say that from the nose up, it does appear to be...
So if Sarah was... I mean, if there was something... There's really no other way to put this. If something was obscuring or covering her mouth...
Such as
a sandwich.
Is there a sandwich?
Such as a corn cob.
Okay, a corn cob.
Or a popcorn ball.
A popsicle. you could conceivably think this was Sarah.
Yeah, I can see how that passes.
All right.
We'll Tim be in here soon?
Tim, yeah, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back. News at the top. And you stick around. We'll continue our E-Hump with our search for the worst story ever.
Can do.
Okay, well, search for the worst story ever. Top five. We're counting down to Listener Party 10. Happens tonight, 7 p.m. We're joined in the studio by the Low. Stay there. We return after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Portland is 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we'll continue our search for the worst story ever. Like is a 3. Don and Mike are on a 7, but I suppose it doesn't necessarily matter because you're going to be a barracuda, my friend. My bright-eyed companions. 4 hours, 55 minutes from now, Rick Emerson Listener Party 10 featuring the whole cast and crew. A guest list of thousands. We have music, fun, frivolity. Drunks and sluts everywhere. Hot chicks and schoolgirl outfits. What else do you need, really?
Stop calling our listeners sluts.
I was. I think I was talking about the listeners.
I'm in favor of sluts.
Come on. I mean,
somebody might be offended.
How do you know the drunks and sluts aren't the same people? I mean, I might not even
think they're drunken sluts.
I mean, come on. Let's be honest. Let's not be coy, shall we, Sarah?
Tend to see a lot of boobs there.
That's what I'm saying. In fact, let me just say this. And there will be, I don't want to give everything away ahead of time, but I mean, during sort of, I don't say slack moments, but I mean, when nothing is sort of big and going on stage, we have this ongoing slideshow. I guess I could say that. We have an ongoing slideshow that's going to be showing photos from the entire history of the Rick Emerson Show, including all 9 previous listener parties. And it's funny that if you look at the list of the photos from listener party 1, 2, it's a certain type, not a certain type of person, but a certain type of dress, a certain type of outfit, a certain type of behavior, and a certain type of thing that was photographed. Around listener party 3 or 4, it started to take a turn. And every subsequent listener party, it was just like, I don't know if it was the crowd itself or it was whoever was doing the photographing, but it was like more and more boobs, more and more just girls taking things off or doing things to one another, and more guys who looked like they were about to spew at any moment. I mean, really, it was pretty fantastic. I'm going to read this one email, then we'll go to the Ministry of Truth, then we'll talk more to the low, we'll continue our search for the worst story ever. This email says, Rick, this is from our friend Seamus. I just now made the booby doctor my ringtone. God bless you, sir. Have a great listener party. I'm sorry I couldn't be there. Many people have emailed me to ask if I would come or if I'm the guest, and just knowing there are people who would be looking forward to my dumb ass being there means a lot. I miss Portland, and I miss Mall 205. Well, God bless you, Seamus. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, he is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, the SWAT team is surrounding a house in Yuba City, California, where a man is threatening to go on a killing spree. At least, they think he might be in there. Jeffrey Carney called his pastor last night and said he was armed with automatic weapons and explosives. The sheriff's office said Carney left telephone messages saying he wanted to do a suicide by cop. Well, they'll be happy to oblige. As soon as they shoot this guy, we're all better off for it. Schools in the county are on high alert, and the number of schools in Yuba City and Marysville have been locked down. Isn't that where Aaron the Geek is from?
Marysville? No, he is from Susanville.
Oh, that's another one of those pretty little girl named towns.
With a Ville on the end, yeah.
So Mary and Susan have nothing to do with each other. They're not even next
They're
to each other.
They're just friends.
Oh, I see.
It was just a slumber party. It didn't mean anything. Hey, can I just tell you that I had this dream last night?
Yes.
That I was having a slumber party. No, this is true. I just do you ever have a dream and then you forget about
I've
it?
I've never had a dream about a slumber party.
I'm just saying, a dream of any kind, and then you sort of forget about it, and then something jars your and you know what, Scotty's in Prod 3, so you'll have to
okay.
Somebody will have to take. Okay,
I'll go. I'll be right back.
Thank you so much. Even if something jars it loose, I swear to God, I had this dream last night that I was at a house, and a house that that wasn't my house, and I don't think it's a house I've ever seen before. I think it was a house that my brain just created out of whole cloth. I was having a slumber party with Court and Fatboy from KUFO, and we were all playing hide and seek.
Uh-huh.
And then I swear to God, I was hiding in a closet, and Court kept trying to get him and get me out of the closet. I swear to God, that's what the it was in a closet area. There was sort of a passageway between the basement and the kitchen. And to get to the basement of the house, I'm sure this is gripping to everybody, to get to the basement of the house, to the kitchen, you had to go through this weird closet thing that linked the two floors. And so I'm there hiding in a closet, and Court is leaning into the closet area, grabbing my shoe, and trying to pull me out.
Was it successful?
I don't know. You know, the thing is that my dog came in and jumped up and down on me, woke me up before I was able to figure it out. So now I'll never know.
Now there'll be a sequel.
I'll die unsatisfied and unfulfilled. All right.
Well, finally, Bill Clinton is speaking out about the Georgia Tech shootings. He says the problem was not the shooter's ability to obtain firearms.
The issue here wasn't really the gun laws, for example. He cleared the Brady Bill checks. But he had been identified as being profoundly troubled and having violent tendencies, at least, either toward himself or others, as early as 2005.
Therefore, he was a good candidate for gun sales. Bill Clinton also tells Larry King Live, well, this must actually be taped, isn't it?
Larry King Faux Live. Is this, well, was it last night?
No, it's tonight. Larry King Live is tonight.
Well, they must...
So they... Larry King will be live tonight.
So they make... Well, they must make an exception for Bill Clinton. Maybe.
Maybe. Well, he said the shooting could have been stopped long ago.
Without recrimination, because nobody tried to have this happen. there ought to be some serious attempt to see whether there was some breakdown in the way the law works and the way the mental health system works, to see if we can make some positive changes to avert this in the future.
It is interesting that, I mean, I don't think that we've heard from any of the other candidates on this, have we? I don't think we've heard from Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton. I don't think they've made any sort of statements.
Well, Bill Clinton speaking for Hillary.
I suppose. I think the only person who's spoken out about this is so sad is John Kerry, just like he's the only person that spoke out about IMUS last week. Boy, that's just, and this is the worst of all possible scenarios, too. And IMUS is looking around for somebody to support him. John Kerry comes to his rescue. That'll make you feel good. Rick, this email says, it's hardly a wonder I've never been to one of your listener parties before, based on the last 5 minutes of placenta-oriented conversation. If my choices are staying on my comfy couch or being assaulted by afterbirth in the midst of a drunken lunatic binge, it's hardly Sophie's choice. I will be there tonight. Hopefully I'll avoid being slathered in biohazard juice. Well, thank
all
you.
All I can see is Grace Jones going afterbirth.
Nerd. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, it's nice to have you here, Mr. Loy. Enjoy your hip-hop music.
Excellent, because I brought you some goodies.
Did you?
Yeah, you brought goodie. Us presents.
Oh.
Did you,
Should we look at them now?
This has been a day of gifts, hasn't it?
Is it something that relieves anal tension?
Is it something in a basket?
Because if it is, we have a gift for you.
Well, it depends on what Tim chooses to do with his gift.
do you like lacy things, Lo? If so, we've got a whole basket full of stuff here for you.
Yeah, I just threw you that little banana.
Yeah,
hand.
What is this? I don't even really understand.
You know. That is a change purse.
I can't.
Totally.
I can't say banana hammock without laughing because there's something wrong with that phrase.
Is this for when I go as Sacha Baron Cohen for Halloween?
Yes, it is, Rick Emerson.
Right. What are you supposed to put in that pouch?
I
change for the max.
I don't really know. I should totally do that. I should totally sling it over my arm and carry change.
No one will bat an eye.
See if it unnerves people.
Nothing unnerves people.
It's like a bra for a really big nose. That's what it looks like. All right. Anywho, I have no idea who any of these calls are because Scotty is in production room 3. All right.
What's he doing?
Yeah, Scotty's got to get his goodie, too.
So, Tim, why don't we do one more? And then, because you are busily preparing news for other things in the other room. Is that the case?
I'm just about done now.
I'm not trying to...
Things went better than usual, but if we have other things...
I just don't want to overtax your schedule if you need to be in the other room. I'm not trying to get rid of you in any way.
No, I didn't think so.
Okay.
I'm just going to read one more.
Give me the hug.
Well, Rudy Giuliani's lead over Republican presidential rivals has narrowed considerably, while Senator Clinton has maintained her advantage in the race for Democratic nomination, according to the Washington Post.
Just as I predicted.
Then we have John McCain, whose candidacy has been buffeted by lackluster fundraising and his embrace of the president's troop surge policy, running a solid second among GOP hopefuls. But this is fresh evidence in the new survey that his focus on the war is attracting conservative support. But it's also made him more polarizing as a figure. This poll makes no sense. Now, Giuliani maintained a front-runner in the national poll, but his support has eroded. So every sentence I read contradicts the last one, doesn't it? We can continue it.
They're presenting all sides, Tim. It's part of being fair and balanced.
I don't believe in that.
The thing is that Giuliani is just that he's the GOP is only backing him by default because there's no one else. That Fred Thompson guy hadn't even said that he's running yet. The Christian nutcases hate him. So Giuliani's it, man. And imagine it's a bad time to be a Republican. It must be a dark time to be in the GOP. Imagine if your only candidate, or Giuliani's the only viable candidate right now.
Yes.
Imagine if you're a Republican and your only viable candidate is a divorced adulterer who's for gay marriage and stem cell research and abortion. I mean, it really is a bad time to be on the Republican side of the aisle. So, and as I said, Hillary Clinton's numbers are going to stay solid because there's nowhere to go because they've had 15 years to wear down her approval rating with the American public. It's as low as it's going to go. Anybody who doesn't hate her now, she could be on television dashing out the brains of children on rocks against the stream, and nobody would care. I mean, that's the thing. The people who don't like her aren't going to like her. The people who like her now are going to keep liking her.
Well, then John McCain brought his straight talk tour to South Carolina Wednesday morning. I guess it's the same bus as the last campaign, isn't it? Had straight talk on the side of it then. Well, on a campaign rally, McCain was asked if an attack on Iran is in the works. McCain began his answer by changing the words to a popular Beach Boys song. Bomb, 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 Iran. He sang to the tune of Barbara Ann.
Do we have sound on that?
I don't know.
All right.
Well, wait a minute. Let me see what I can do here.
Because that's a classic. I remember my idiot father singing that in like 1980 or whenever that was, 80, 81.
See what I can do.
That was one of the first widely spread morning DJ parody songs that I remember hearing as a kid.
I don't have it yet, but I'm going to go look for it.
All right.
I'll be back in just a while.
All right. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. All right. We'll have another visit from Tim Riley here in just a skosh. All right. I'm going to take these two calls on screen.
I my presence.
Oh, yeah. And then Lo has presents for us. All right. Well, let's do these two calls. Then we'll see what the presents are. And then we'll talk to Scotty J, who I think has got a surprise for us. And then later on, we'll have more from Tim, and we'll continue our search for the worst party of the year. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
Hey, it's Rob.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, man. Did you say that you had a dream where you were reluctant to come out of a closet and Court was trying to pull you out?
Yeah, Sarah was out of the room for that. I had a dream last night that Court and Fatboy and I were all having like a slumber party at a house.
Oh, my God.
I was in this closet room, and Court kept trying to get me out of it.
Rick, do you like Gladiator movies?
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
He really did like 300 and obsessed at length about whether or not their abs were CGI.
Only because it seemed a little perplexing to me that 300 men could have abs that look that good. That doesn't really seem plausible.
Well, maybe you can go online and get some screenshots from that.
All right.
Maybe you can blow it up like the size of your head, stick it in your office.
All right, thank you. Thanks for that.
All right, see you guys tonight.
All right, thank you.
I think I got Joe McKean song here.
All right,
let's listen.
We have, for quite a long time now, known where the real problem is in the Middle East. And in fact, the president adequately described it as the axis of evil. I guess my question is, how many times do we have to prove that these people are blowing up people now, never mind if they get a nuclear weapon? When do we send them an airmail message to Tehran?
Who is that?
Somebody asked me a question from the audience.
Oh, I see. Some salt of the earth question asker.
That old Beach Boys song, Bomberan.
That was it. Go. Good night, John.
I thought there'd be more to it than that.
Time to go home. Yeah, that was unsatisfying. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you, sir, madam, as the case may be?
It would be sir.
Hi, what's up?
I was just wondering if anyone had come up with a Rick Emerson pre-funk.
There's no funk on this program, sir.
There's no funk at all.
You know what pre-funking is.
No, I know. It's a pre-party type thing, right?
Right.
The bars are on there. Like, Tube is right across the street. And
we've done that in the past where we've had a pre-party in the past, but I don't think it's happening. It just kind of came together that everybody's sort of busy sort of assembling things at the last minute. I don't think anything... I think everybody is saving their sanity and brain cells and liver for Barracuda tonight.
I'm having a pre-party with Alka-Seltzer.
You and Scotty had yours last night. Separate locations, drinking yourself blind. Yeah, apparently the pre-party happened last night at various locales around town, sir.
I totally missed that, but all right then.
We'll see you tonight, my friend.
All right, see you soon.
All right, there you go. Hey, somebody send us the YouTube video of the placenta at the listener party. I don't play it on the air yet because I screamed. It may be filled
with
profanity.
Probably swearing.
Because why wouldn't you? Because there's placenta leaking all over your feet.
People don't know that. We have the filthiest mouths when we're off the air.
It is true.
Except for me.
Because it builds up. No, Tim is a newsman through and through.
It sounds like a Tourette.
Hey, Scotty?
Scotty J.
Okay, I know who you are. Scotty, you're in production room 3?
Yes.
All right. Let's put production room 3 up now. Sarah doesn't exactly know this. Scotty, I armed you with a cassette. Why don't you go ahead and hit play? I don't know what we're about to hear, by the way.
Okay, here we go.
Somebody asked me if I had additional audio from Sarah.
At 6 o'clock, the alarm goes off. At 6:09, it goes off again. I always push that little button for an extra 2 minutes. At 7:20, the dogs are fed, the plants are watered, and...
Are you hearing it?
Yes.
...when already frazzled me are all out the door.
This
doesn't sound like you. 5
to 5:30, it's meetings, phone calls, appointments, emails, one of those power lunches, and...
Okay, I'm
on the table that has...
Okay, and can you drop the monitor level in there? Because we're getting that echo.
Yeah, we're hearing you.
So do you turn the monitor down a little bit? Thank you. All right, it was on a tape labeled Sarah's Commercial Reads.
Maybe I did like the end part.
Or you did a tag?
Maybe the tag.
Open to 5.
It wasn't good enough.
5:30. It's meetings, phone calls, appointments, emails.
The same commercial.
It's just like a set deck, Scotty.
It's fast forward.
It doesn't have to get me through any day when I can relax.
It does kind of sound like you.
That gets
it doesn't
me
sound anything at all.
Day.
Stop. I don't think this is Scotty. It sounded more like you if your mouth was gagged.
Oh, that was me.
Scotty, just hit play.
Hit play.
Downtown's new country
music. Oh, for the love of God.
Please enter free until 10:30 plus great country.
Scotty, just go back to the previous track.
Dakota's at Southwest in Washington downtown.
Scotty.
Yes.
Scotty, turn off the cassette. Here's the thing. Here's what I need you to do.
I don't think you finished college.
I got something else.
No, just stop. Stop for a moment.
Oh, good God. And he's going to be DJing.
He's been in there for like 10 minutes. I thought you'd like have it cued or something.
Here's the thing.
It sounded like you.
Scotty.
I think he does this on purpose.
Here's the thing.
He doesn't, which is the saddest.
I need you to hit play and then...
Okay. Here's something new.
Stop. Listen to me now. I need you to hit play on the cassette and then... Quit talking and do nothing else.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, still have a lot of roads closed. I'll go through that list really quick. I-84 remains closed from Troutdale to Hood River.
Is this a different tape or is this the commercial tape?
241 and 238.
This is the one where you took the thing about the girls, so I could go back to the commercial tape.
Put in
the one. Okay,
this is just an abortion. All right.
We need to take a break anyway. Why don't we get this situated?
Jesus Christ Almighty. All right, I'll take us into the break here.
Okay.
Be back. It's just a... Oh, good Lord. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're back after this. Don't go anywhere. Listener Party 10 happens tonight, 4.5 hours away. You stay there. The Rick Emerson Show rolls on next to Take It Live 70 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.
FM DJs, yo, it's midday, so here's your fix. Just like Rick Emerson, consuming his chocolate check mix. Back harder than ever, going 4 hours strong. I still haven't perfected, looking like I'm working when it's on. How many unrelated observations can Rick make before Sarah stops his ass for going over the break? And I don't even bother trying to call the show at all. Cause if my comments ain't funny, Rick will be losing my call. Never mind that they might not even answer the phone. Cause Scotty just hung over from being out freaking alone. I'm pretty glad my thoughts and Tim Riley's are in the same place. Cause we both leave work. Can avoid the human race when I'm not stealing calls from in front of Rick's place. I'm an old acquaintance searcher for Sarah on my face. So put your hands together for the man and cash the check. Rick Emerson, bitches, radio gangsta X.
Radio gangsta.
With Tim Rock, Scotty J, and Sarah X.
Radio gangsta.
Yo, he's the old sister for that cash the check.
Radio gangsta.
With Tim Rock, Scotty J, and Sarah X.
Radio gangsta.
It's
the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We are raising the roof.
Don't ever say that ever. No. No.
I am raising my hands into the air with an abject lack of caring. That's what I'm doing.
It's real.
All right. Rick, is that the low I hear in the airwaves? Does that mean there's a rap battle tonight? All right. Oh, this is from former intern Kyle. Yeah.
Yeah, Kyle wrote me a text message today wishing us luck.
I come up and spit mad Ronnie. He's not going to be there?
I think, you think he'll be there.
Bastard, he better be.
Oh. Who am I going to battle?
Oh, my God, please battle Kyle.
Please battle Scotty.
Whatever became of that youngster?
Battle the rapping traffic girl.
He got himself a real job.
But then he wanted a career in radio.
I have to battle the rapping Easter Bunny.
I think everybody wants a career in radio until they actually get a career in radio, and then they realize it's sort of like a... It's really easy. It's winning beyond the booby prize. So, all right, let's pay a final visit, ladies and gentlemen. You can see him tonight live in person in a flash. He's your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The OSP cuts down and captures a drunk driver who is going down 94 at 120 miles an hour this morning. Actually, it happened. The whole thing started at 10:12. He's cruising down Interstate 84 in a black Acura, and then he reverses direction on the freeway to come back westbound. Well, it was apparently he pulled off into a town that was nearby. I guess that's Hood River, and they arrested him. He's 23-year-old Jonas Smith Sadie, and he's being held at the regional correction facility in the Dalles. He's charged with DUI, 6 counts of reckless driving, felony attempt to elude a police officer, reckless endangering another person, 6 counts, misdemeanor attempt to elude on foot, exceeding the speed limit at 120 miles an hour. This is a 65-mile-an-hour zone. Failing to maintain the single lane of travel, failing to maintain the safe distance for an emergency vehicle, and last but not least, refusing a breath test.
All right, dude. He won't be home for dinner, Mom.
No.
Empty out his CD player. If there's any rap, it's all over.
That's it. And police say he was a goth. All right.
Meanwhile, Shell Oil Company has determined that Playboy and the Penthouse are no longer pornography, but instead they're adult sophisticates. The issue arose when the Florida Family Association, anything with family in it, you know, it's going to be trouble, contacted Shell about the sale of explicit materials at convenience stores owned by Circle K in southeastern parts of the United States. David Caton, the executive director of the pro-family organization, said his group asked Shell to require Shell-branded Circle K stores to stop selling pornography as it did in the past.
I remember that. That happened in the 80s. A huge deal. Kids today,
they have the internet.
They don't appreciate.
That's what
they
for.
The kids don't appreciate the struggles that we went through in the past. I remember when 7-Eleven was under siege from Jerry Falwell and his pack of nitwits about getting rid of Playboy and Penthouse. And I think actually to this day, I don't think they sell Playboy or Penthouse at 7-Eleven. I think you can get like Plant Pantry sells it. Mm-hmm. But I think the Southland Corporation, which owns 7-Eleven, I think they no longer stock the softcore magazines like that. Because it was corrupting the children and so forth. And then I go to the plant. I kind of feel bad. I never thought I would say this. I feel bad for pornographers in a way because I go like across the street at the Plant Pantry, which is where I eat an astonishing percentage of my breakfasts now. While I'm sitting there microwaving my double-decker, like quarter-pound spongy burger thing, I sit there and they just have that huge rack of pornographic magazines, all of them sealed. And you ask yourself, who is possibly buying these magazines? I mean, really, what kind of a pornographic, perverse Luddite do you have to be?
I actually, oh, God, I can't believe I'm going
to
tell you
something
this.
Something you'd like to admit,
Lo? Well, you're on vacation. No, I had this friend, and there's a photograph of me and said friend in front of, behind an issue of Butt Man magazine.
Butt Man.
And
is that for people who smoke?
Oh, no. No one's ever seen this photograph, and no one ever will.
I don't understand. What do you
Buttman?
I have one of those friends that...
Is that a superhero, by the way?
Buttman?
Oh, he's super. he's one of those people that thinks, you know, hey, we're taking a photograph. Now's a good time to grab my copy of Buttman and hold it up.
I didn't even know there was a magazine called Buttman. I love those. You know, here's the thing about porn magazines. I love porn magazines, or just porn in general, that has where they don't try to be clever. It's like straight to telling you what it is. What's this? It's Anal Slave Digest. Well, what's it about? You know, lamps. You know, there's just no where they just go right to it, you know? It's like one of those stores where it's called, like, Just Waffle Irons. That's what I love. Fantastic.
Do you also pose for Just Waffle Irons magazine?
Butt Man.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right.
Well, that's enough out of me. I can't beat that.
All right. Fantastic.
See you tonight, Tim.
Thank you.
I certainly will, yeah.
Don't leave before you get your stuff.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to, would you like to dispense our presents now, and then we'll do these calls, and we'll talk about the...
Yeah, sure. Why don't I hook up Mr. Riley first, because he has other things to do, and he's very important, and... I know how particular he is about life,
yes,
the universe, and everything.
Yes, yes. About life.
So I didn't stray too far from the path. But
well, I do enjoy that cereal. Yes,
that's for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right, this is what? This is.
Oh, this is Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, is that with the Welcome to Las Vegas sign?
They gave me a night shirt.
Fantastic. It's a shirt that has the famous Vegas sign on it.
Which I've never seen.
We have debated this. Okay, where is that sign?
Okay, it's at the south end.
Oh, that's why I never see it.
That's the south end of the strip, just past Mandalay Bay, the Luxor, and all that stuff down at that end. Because there's like the last two major casinos on the strip. And so as you're going south, you'll see the back of that where it's like come again or whatever.
So I wouldn't see that if I was headed to Old Vegas.
No. If you were headed to Old Vegas, you'd be going away from that.
All right. Yeah. That explains why I've never seen it.
Then. You kind of have to go past it and come back see it.
I'm also just going right to the El Cortez. And you never see anything there except for crack vials and pawn shops. That's really it. That's all.
Well, thank you, Mr. Lowe.
You are very welcome.
I'll think of you often as I'm wearing this.
Thank you. All right. What else do we have? This is fantastic.
All right. Sarah, do you want to come over and get yours?
Sure.
All right.
And this is just a little something for your home and your habit.
Oh, I know what this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there a theme to all of these gifts? Are they all part of the... Hey, that Las Vegas ashtray will go with the Las Vegas coffee cup I got you.
Look at on my back porch. Thanks.
Fantastic.
No
there
problem.
You go.
No problem. My pleasure. And for you, we have... Actually, I've gotten you something along this line before, but I figured this is slightly different.
All right.
Kind of a unique take on the whole...
You know, my office does need... Hey, I got to tell you, it's been a long time since somebody gave me a snow globe.
By the way, my mom gave me a snow globe to give to you.
Really?
For Easter, yes.
That's
I have it at my house.
I actually quit saying because really, I had run out of... You go to my home. I moved all my snow globes. When they fired me at Intercom, I didn't want to put them all in the basement because that just seemed sad. So I put them all in my office, and they have overtaken every conceivable surface. And I actually quit asking for them because I ran out of room. But this is the second Vegas one.
That one's really cool.
Too, right? Yeah. All right, excellent. So I'll put this one next to, I'll put this one upstairs with my other one.
Yeah, I saw that one. That was slightly different than the traditional snow globe.
Oh, this is great, too. And it's sort of shaped like a roulette wheel. Fantastic. Did you get something for Scotty?
I did get something for Mr. J if he's still welcome in the studio.
Can we destroy it in front of him?
Oh, right. That would just be
he
cruel.
He can't come into the studio quite yet because he's got Scotty, are you in Prague 3? Well, let's find out. Scotty?
Yes, Rick. I'm down here at Barracuda, and I got to tell you, the line's wrapping around the building right now.
Don't be an ass.
God, where are you? Okay. What is wrong with you?
Write that one, Scotty.
Seriously, where are you?
Took me about an hour to remember to say that, by the way.
Are you in production room 3?
Yes, I am.
Why do you have to make things so difficult? There's just no response.
Are you
just
what
a
are you
maniacal,
doing?
Just a maniacal laughter. All right, Scotty, let's try to keep it together, shall we? I don't want you to be falling to pieces in front of everybody tonight.
You took off the host, and I have a hammer right over your gift.
Well, I mean, wait, hold on. Hammer? Oh, my computer's turned down.
I barely knew her.
Yeah, all right, Scotty.
Old enough to
so you are in Prod 3.
Yes.
Okay, now, this is so, we're so past this now, it's going to be so anticlimactic. But we've tried this like 100 times today. Let's try it again. Please now, to be keeping the monitor a little low, keep the phone to your ear, and just hit play on that cassette.
Okay, Sarah, I have my...
Hot up Prod 3.
All right, it's up.
All right, go ahead.
I have my finger on the cultural pulse right now.
Just hit the button.
5:30. It's meetings, phone calls, appointments, emails, one of those power lunches, and
it's
crazy.
Stop and start fast-forwarding around.
On the table that passes for dinner. 7:30. Kids on homework, room cleanup, and headed toward bed. And then, it's me, my husband, and our hot spring spa. You've heard about quality time. Well, I think hot spring invented it. The water holds them in a buoyant state, and the jets massage away the tension. Just knowing that our hot spring spa is waiting at home is enough to get me through any day. When I can relax, I can sleep, and that's
are you on this commercial somewhere
for another day.
Maybe I did the tag.
Don't miss the pre-owned spa warehouse sale this Saturday. Outstanding spas at a fraction of new. Call Oregon Hot Spring Spa for more details.
Someone
isn't
so bad.
No.
Get yourself a...
It doesn't involve the dress barn.
And let's all remember that any number of these clients may be current clients.
Hey, it's Scott Simon. Join me at the party tonight at Dakota's.
Now, why... Downtown's
new country...
Why would this be on your cassette?
Until 10:30, plus great country.
I don't know.
Awesome light. Oh. This is the place.
Stop, please.
Girl fest.
Scotty. After saying now.
Oh, that's my girl fest one. It goes on forever.
We're going to end this now.
There's another tape right here that's all queued up.
All right. And then we're ending this. We're never trying to spit again. This has just been the biggest disaster.
Another disabled vehicle blocking the left lane southbound I-5.
These are all going to sound the same.
And delay seen I-5 northbound at the Fremont Bridge for a de-icing operation. Also, a lot of heavy traffic I-5 northbound just due to the mass of traffic out there. So try and be patient. This report, a service of Carfax. Used car. I'm a peppy thing.
You really?
Carfax.
You can actually hear the spark going out in your eyes. I can hear your love of radio disintegrating.
I'm Sarah Dillon. That's your commuter update. On Hot Talk 1080, KOTK.
This job is not nearly as satisfying as I thought.
The new look of Mall 205. Oh, come
again.
On. You remember, because Mall 205 is...
All right, Scotty, fast forward through this. Let's see what's after this, and then we'll be done. says after the Mall 205 commercial.
I think we peaked with Mall 205.
Hot trends from casual.
All right, just let it go.
Or for the younger ones, shop at the Learning Palace and discover award-winning.
I want to hear the tantalizing sounds of the food court again.
And when all your shopping makes you hungry, Mall 205's new food court has a variety of flavors from around the world. So come and see the new look of Mall 205, where you'll find a whole new shopping experience. That's Mall 205 off I-205 in Southeast Washington.
Oh, God.
I don't think so. There's probably one more.
No, I ended with the big finish.
Really? Isn't that what you're... That was the climax.
Yeah, I hope cassettes make a comeback.
Okay, we're done.
Okay.
This is stupid. We're ending this now. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will... let's see. We come back. Here's what we'll do. We come back. We will do a reprise of yesterday's search for the worst story ever. So we'll do that. Only because I got to get it, because I tried to get it done yesterday. It didn't want to work. 503-733-2970. Don't forget, Listener Party 10 happens 4 hours and 19 minutes from now. Barracuda downtown, 7 p.m. tonight. We'll see you there. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. You stay right there. Broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. We bid a fond farewell to our Vizo refrigerator, which is leaving the studio right now. I got a Lowe's mic on here. I have to say, so we have this refrigerator from Vizo, God bless them. And it wasn't brand new. It had been used by somebody before us, I guess. And so I got this text message from like a board operator about 6 weeks ago, and it was like, fridge is making weird noise, smoke, and bad smell. And so I texted back like, please do unplug. And so the fridge has sat here unplugged at room temperature, refrigerating nothing. Filled with...
No, there's like old creamer and...
Filled with dairy products and salad dressing. And so the Vizo guy just came to pick up the fridge to fix it. And they opened up the fridge, and I swear to God, the stench of 1,000 deaths came out of that thing. A bad scene. Thanks for opening that in a tight space. Thanks. An airtight studio.
It smells like hot milk in here.
Ass. Hot milk. Seriously. Hot milk that's just been vomited up by somebody. What is that thing that Dennis Miller said? It's been vomited up by a... oh, God. He had that promo about... I had a cab driver. The cabbie smelled like a man getting a permanent in the septic tank of a slaughterhouse. Or whatever. Anyway. Let's get a couple of phone calls here real quickly, and then we'll continue our hunt for the worst story ever. Our good friend Mailman Chris, hello, sir.
Hey, buddy, it wouldn't be a listener party if I didn't call in ahead of time.
Yes, it is. Thank you. And well, you've been there since the very beginning. You've seen the good, the bad, and everything in between.
I have attended them all, and it didn't really materialize, but I was going to offer my one time at a listener party.
We ended up not even really doing that. We were going to do a high-concept phone topic of this one time at a party, but go ahead.
Well, you know what, Mike? I've got two, and they'll encompass everything.
Okay.
First, the good is the first listener party, one time, I got to go into a money box where money was flying all around, and I got to grab it and stick it in my pocket and walk out with, like, $90.
I didn't even remember that. All right.
And then doubled it like 3 times on the blackjack table.
Excellent.
And then one time, I had the guy next to me violently regurgitating a mixture of PBR and SpaghettiOs all over my wife's feeder. And that made me spew so hard that I almost lost my teeth.
The White Trash Barbecue.
We did that SpaghettiO eating contest.
Ooh.
Were you there?
No.
Oh, dude, it was a lukewarm SpaghettiO eating contest.
That sounds like the placenta thing.
Oh, no, and at a certain point...
I've heard you sound really gross.
They do. They sound. We sound like terrible people. And if you've seen Stand By Me, everybody was doing the lard-ass chant. Somebody, I think it was Rob...
Didn't Rob...
Got about 3 plates into his SpaghettiOs. He started to hurl, and then I swear to God, it was just dominoes. It was just a chain reaction. And then Chris actually...
And it was inside and warm.
Chris, and there's no polite way to say this. Chris actually vomited so hard that some of his temporary teeth shot out. He had like these fake teeth or whatever. Bam! Right across the table.
That was wrong.
Those are good times.
Just kill me.
So, hey, on the wall of Emerson. person.
Yes, sir.
Is the infamous squeaky toy of doom going
to
be there?
Oh, the one that made my poodle go crazy. Well, you'll have to be there to find out, sir.
All right.
Oh, that's a guarantee.
I will definitely be there, and in part with the history, F Matt with my future tobacco-laden lungs and alcohol-soaked liver.
Thank you, sir. All right, and a final call from our good friend Kristen, who joins us now on the Rick Emerson Show. Why, hello there.
Well, hi, kids.
Hi, Kristen.
I just wanted to say I'm so excited for this evening's festivities, and I will see you all there. I'm very excited to see some of the displays you have.
There's the stuff from a long time, and many, many photos of you, by the way.
I was going to say I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, no.
So some of that is just really a blur.
Many, many photos of you, and you look blurry in some of them.
Grace and Glory.
There's one of you, I think, making out with Glory, maybe. Oh,
can you narrow that down?
Okay. And we're done. Bam! And we're out. All right. We'll see you tonight, sister.
All right. I'll see you later.
There you go, our good friend, Krista. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Without further ado, let me make sure this is queued up. Without further ado, it's time for another exciting installment of our search for the worst news story ever. Now, because we got caught short yesterday, as Paul Newman said in Cool Hand Luke, I'm going to give you the phone number up top. It's 503-733-2970. You might want to call now. The phones will auto-answer, and then you can be listening. You can be ready to, you know, be ready to weigh in and so forth. So here's what we're going to do. We will read you two news stories. You then will call in after the second news story has been read and tell us which story you find the most horrifying. That story will then go on to take on a future story as we here at the Rick Emerson Show attempt to find the worst story in the entire history of humanity. The number is 503-733-2970. Here is story number
one. You're not going to read the blood one again.
I am going to read the blood one again. I'm going to read it every day until it loses, if it does. Story number one. And reigning champ, this is from WCCO in Minneapolis. Blood sprays out of sewer onto city worker. A Minneapolis city worker is worried about blood in the sewer system because he said while he was cleaning the system, blood sprayed out of a hole and got all over him. It was a lot of blood. I mean, a lot of blood, said Minneapolis sewer maintenance worker Ron Hubner. It happened about 2 weeks ago in North Minneapolis near a lab that does medical testing and dumps blood into a sewer. Blood was all over my face, in my mouth. I could taste it. It was terrible. I kept spitting blood out of my mouth, but I couldn't get rid of it, said Hubner. Hubner said he hasn't been sleeping much. He's worried about the blood that he swallowed when he was operating a jet machine to clean out a sewer. The Met Council said it was a mix of human and animal blood used in medical testing at a nearby laboratory. Hubner wasn't protected or warned about the blood because his supervisors didn't know about it. According to the Met Council, there are 4 slaughterhouses, 20 hospitals, and a dozen medical and pharmaceutical companies that have permits to dump blood. There you go. R&D systems did not return calls made to the laboratory. That's story number one. It's 503-733-2970. Here's story number two. Dateline Akron. A jury awarded $786,000 to an Ohio man who said he has endured years of pain and must walk bow-legged after his left testicle was crushed by a broken weight machine bar at an athletic club. I can barely walk, let alone run. There's a constant throbbing of pain. I mean, come on, it's my testicle, said Jason Houston, 25, adding that sex is, quote, tenuous, end quote, following the February 2004 injury at the local YWCA. Houston, who won the award on Monday, was lifting 68 kilograms on a leg extension machine when a cable broke. That caused a center steel rod with an adjusting ball to swing 180 degrees into his groin, crushing the testicle. It felt horrendous, he said. I mean, really. Really indeed. All right. We're going to take your calls now as we determine which of these is the worst story.
You
need
to make sure you get a good balance of female and male because the push testicle doesn't bother me so much.
I can't judge. I can't control who called him. All right, Sarah. We'll let you give me the cutoff point so that I don't unintentionally tilt the voting one way or the other.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, hi. Scotty, you don't need to pre-screen these. I'll just take these raw. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Number two. The only thing that could be worse than that is getting both testicles crushed and then having blood sprayed on you.
Thanks for looking at the glasses half full, sir. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
I'm going to have to go with the sewer story.
All right. Sewer story. Yeah.
And are you going to bring any old stories back for this segment?
We may, in fact, bring stories from the past for this. Yes, sir.
I'd like to bring up the story where the guys drank the barrel of rum with the dead body in it.
All right. We'll put it on the pile, my friend.
All right.
Thank you, sir. All right. See you tonight. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Oh, definitely the testicle one. I'm feeling it right now.
All right, thank you. It does have a certain relatability to it, doesn't it? Rick Emerson Show, which story is the worst?
You know, I got to say, I think the crushed testicle story makes me want to spit up my own blood.
Thank you, sir. All right, glad we could help. Rick Emerson Show, which story is the worst?
Oh, the blood one is still the worst.
All right, thank you, sir. Rick Emerson Show, which story do you find to be the worst?
Oh, crushed testicles is bad, very bad.
All right, thank you, my friend. We can all agree on that. Rick Emerson Show, which story do you find to be the worst? Okay. Rick Emerson Show, which story do you find to be the worst?
The testicle.
All right, testicle. Great, thank you.
All right, two more.
Rick Emerson Show, which story do you find to be the worst? Hi, hello there.
Hello there.
It's just a phone. Which story do you find to be the worst, sir?
Number one by far.
All right, thank you, sir. How many more?
Because I'm a girl.
There's a lady.
Rick Emerson Show, which story do you find to be the worst?
Absolutely the testicle story. Even though I don't have any, I can't imagine how horrible that must be.
All right, thank you. Sort of like
contaminated blood in your mouth. That's all right. Wrong.
All right, well, there you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen. By a strong vote, double the votes, we find that the testicle crushing story actually comes in at number one.
So that one moves on to the next round.
Testicle story, yes, we'll go on to the next round against a story to be determined by us at a later date. There you go. Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, our PA is Scotty J, and our gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Bob Costantini and Ed McCarthy for joining us today. As always, my friends, we encourage you to see us tonight, 4 p.m., Barracuda, Listener Party 10 tonight, Barracuda. 7 p.m. We encourage you to not let the bastards grind you down, and please do try to help the retarded. The Rick Emerson Show will see you tonight at 7 p.m., my friends. We'll see you there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Like us next. Donna Mike at 7. Thanks to the Low Alter for coming in. We'll see you tonight, 7 p.m. Listener Party 10. Be there.
Who's got this in? I believe you.